Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, it is. Boys to Men, Mama. That's the name of that song. Boy, that was a big hit, still a hit, as far as I'm concerned. Them boys, you know, Boys to Men, they knew they was singing from deep down inside. That was nothing but spiritual. For them to have a record that went so long and made so many hits. Okay, let me see what y'all like about this one before we get the show started. You know, that had to have been hell of a bad. Okay. Oh, man. I got to call one of my co-hosts and get him on. He's having problems with his phone. Give me 1 minute. Let me dial him from the show. I'm going to have to dial him from the computer and get my brother on here. Okay. There we go. There we go.
Hey, Shake.
What's going on, Brother Jake? I should say Hawaii, Jake.
Oh, yeah, nothing much. Just sitting here getting some laptop work in. How's everything going with you?
Oh, man, I'm good, Brother Jake. I'm real good. I'm good. I'm drying out from all that rain we had yesterday, man.
Oh, yeah, canceled a lot of events, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that rain come down, man, and, I mean, it came down like cats and dogs, Jake, and I had to go fire up the tow truck and get out there in it and make me some money. I love it when we got bad weather now.
Yeah, that's a good thing. We ain't going to have too much more of it left. It's all dry coming up.
You think so, Jake?
Yeah, this is some of the hot months are coming. You know, we in July and August. The heat is on. Hotter than July.
Yeah, but, Jake, we at the last of July. Shoot, in another week it'll be August. Today is the hottest day I think we've ever had, wasn't it? What did it get up to, about 80-something?
Oh, we had 90s. Yeah, we had hotter days. But no one likes them 90s.
Really,
that's too hard to survive in. So how's everybody?
Well, it's just me and you on here right now. Oh, shoot, we got somebody else coming in. But we just getting the show started. And I just wanted to do my introduction with you. And I'm gonna put you on mute and get this next call, my next host in here, and we'll get started right around about 8:20.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Okay, I'm standing.
All right. Let me go. Oh shoot! Where my stuff at? Where am I? There we go. All right. Oh, Chuck, somebody at the door. Let me see who at the door, Brother Jake. 734. Oh, that's my other co-host. What's going on, Corey?
What's up, man? The boogeyman on.
you keep changing the name. It was first Venom. Now it's the boogeyman. Make up your mind, Corey. What is it going to be next week?
Venom ain't never went nowhere. I'm going to stay Venom. I'm just talking a little smack today.
Okay. A man with different names. Venom last week and Boogeyman this week.
What's up, fellas? What's up, Hawaii Jake?
Sounds real good, man. Things must be going real nice for you. I'm totally blessed, and I love to hear your voice, man, up and about.
Same here. I'm blessed, too. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Venom will be back out very soon.
Yeah. I'm anxious to hear about some car shows and something else, some activities going on. I know there's got to be some upcoming events.
Better have one today.
Yeah.
Not to cut you off, sir. They had a show. Noah had a show today. Noah Felton.
Oh, man. I forgot about that. Dog, Corey, why you didn't call and tell me and remind me, man?
Hey, I was working. I had to move some stuff, man. I had to move a bunch of stuff. I stopped by there for like about a couple minutes and came on back to the crib. I worked all day.
You see how he is, Hawaii Jake? Didn't even call us and let us know. I could have shot on over there, man.
Hey, man, I have my work plan going.
Go ahead.
I had honey do to do something. You know what I'm saying? Jake.
Was it a nice show?
Yeah, it was a good show when nobody asked on the phone, even though I was there for 5 minutes.
That's a great show.
Yes, sir. Wasn't nobody doing no donuts or nothing acting stupid. Man, it was a real good show. No, but it wasn't small. A little time I was there. We got some upcoming races, though. Young Money got a race next month. That'll be a good race to go to. We got a couple of cars too, so I'm looking for the Young Money race.
Hold on, hold on. Go ahead, y'all. Let me get down. This is Woody Sloan calling.
You getting your car together, Corey?
Man, I'm together. This thing has time to work on. I'm together. Sitting in the trailer. I'm just, come on out there. When I have time to work on it, I'll be so busy working.
I hear you, man.
I'll bring it out really soon.
Well, I'm still waiting to go this year's first year to go to a track.
Oh, yeah, she got to pick you up on a day.
Yeah, I guess the weather was bad yesterday.
Yeah, it was horrible. But I'll be...
And
it helps me a lot, though.
What's that?
Go ahead, Jake.
What was you saying? What helps you?
No, I was saying the rain helped me a lot, dog, but I'm leaning on my rain.
No, we know. This shit been caused a lot of damage, man.
So did. It definitely did all the basement flooding, too. By me out of my company, shoot, I'm a week and a half behind.
Huh.
Trying to play catch up. That rain don't help.
So is there any action going out at that the track out at MI?
Yes, sir.
Is it closed?
Mine is closed. Yeah, mine is closed.
Wow. But them people are probably going over to starts with an H, right? Alligator Gate?
Yeah, Onondaga.
Onondaga. Oh, okay.
Onondaga, Jake. It's O-N, Onondaga.
Oh. Onondaga. Okay.
Yeah, Onondaga.
O-N. Oh, okay.
Okay. Oh, man, fellas, I got to make a couple phone calls. We got a special guest coming on tonight. CompuCar Nitrous Systems will be on the show, and he's going to tell us about the nitrous system he produced and sells. He builds his own product, and this is Big Ernie. He needs no introduction. But he's coming on in the next few minutes, and he owns CompuCar Nitrous System. If you need some nitrous system for your car, he's the man to go to. There's nobody like Ernie. We call him Big Ernie. Big Ernie sells a product, and once you buy the product, he will walk you through any problems you having with your car. He will explain to you how it works. He's got all kind of different nitrous systems for your car. He stand behind it 100%. Now, he's totally different than anybody else. You buy your nitrous system from somebody in that catalog, once you buy it, you won't hear from him ever again. But Ernie, you can call him anytime, and he will explain to you what's going on, what are you having problems with, and he'll show you how to tune your car with the nitrous system. That's Big Ernie. He'll be on in the next few minutes. So in the meantime, I got to make another phone call. couple more phone calls. So Jake and Corey, hold it down for me. Where you at, unknown? Hit the one button. Brother Unknown, there you go. That's my other co-host.
Yes, sir. How are y'all doing? I had a little surprise I wanted to bring to the table for everybody tonight. First of all, my surprise is our Creator. I want to thank our Creator for allowing us, you know, to meet here again on another Sunday, and thank him for giving Shake the strength. And if you stick around, you're going to see people with good hearts and people with good intentions, things are going to really open up for them. They might not see it at the moment, but in my mind and in my heart and what I've experienced for all these years I've been on earth, is good things happen to those people that got patient. And to me, Shake got patient. That's why so many people come in with so much talent to his show right now. So you're going to have a lot of criticism and a lot of crazy stuff, but if you overlook that because that's just the way the world is built on, that's what a lot of people, you know, get entertained and get all the entertainment from. It's going out, you know, and debating on, you know, stuff like that. So if you can deal with all the bad and all the good too, at the end of the line, you're going to become a winner. So I want to thank our Creator for Shake, for another Sunday show, for all the talent that we have here on the show, for all the education we can pick up for the ones that want some education, for the ones who want to have some fun. It is all here on the Shake and Bake Show. Thank you, Shake.
All right. Appreciate you, Unknown. Unknown is one of my co-hosts all the way from Maryland, and he gives us updates on what's going on the East Coast, and we greatly appreciate him. And I want to thank you for that, Brother Unknown. In the meantime, and in between time, I've got to make a couple more phone calls. Some people I want to get on the show, because when Big Ernie come on and he talk about his nitrous system, I want some people to understand how that nitrous system really works. So stay on here for a minute, Unknown. I got you, Corey, and Brother Hawaii Jake on here. I got to make another phone call.
All right. Okay. What's up, Unknown?
How y'all guys doing, man? We going a long way. That's what we thought was going to happen. That's right, a good heart. We going a long ways. All these people here talking right now got good hearts, good intentions. We going a long ways. Yep.
Yes, sir.
Can't nobody stop you with the talent that, you know, shows up every Sunday here and every other day in our life. Can't nobody stop you. Only person can stop you is you and the Creator. So if you let somebody get between there, then, you know, can't nobody do nothing about that. But can't nobody stop you. Just keep that in mind. Just stay strong. Be patient. And it's always, you know, sometimes some downs come and a lot more uppers going to come. So just hang in there.
Amen.
Hang in there. Yeah, so y'all guys been doing pretty much okay? Families and everything?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Just kicking back, enjoying this beautiful weather, trying to make sure I stay healthy, eat the right foods, and I'm overcoming some great deal of sicknesses, but as long as I keep my immune system feeling good.
Well, I'll tell you a trick, you know, pay attention to yourself more than ever. You know, people can tell you a lot of things to do, but if you pay attention to how you feel and what you put in yourself and the way you feel after you put something in yourself, if you pay attention to that, then you can keep yourself strong and keep on going. But if you sit there and let somebody else regulate, you know, 100% of you, they are not you, so they cannot regulate 100% you. They can tell you a lot of things to do. But pay a close attention to yourself. Yeah, I like that. That ensures that I'll be around for a while.
Sure. Sure, sure. You know, a lot of things, you can hurt yourself in a lot of ways. It can be food. It can be something you drink. You know, and, you know, clothes. It can be these cars. It can be jobs. It can be your stress at home. You can hurt yourself in a many different ways. You got to pay attention closer to yourself and knowing what, you know, can take you down and what, you know, can keep you strong. So, you know, that's why you was given two ears, two eyes, and a nose. You've been given all the senses. So are you going to use all of them? You know, that's what that gets you down to, you know. And that's what I work hard on, trying to figure out things like that, how I'm going to keep on going to the next day. And be thankful. Every day I get up and open my eyes, I'm thankful to, you know, have another day in front of me. Every time we have one of these shows and I listen to any of y'all, I'm thankful because there is something always there I can pick out there that can, you know, get me to the finish line.
All right. I know.
Yes, that's me. That's it. Yep. You want to get to the finish line. Pay attention.
That's something a lot of us don't do, pace ourselves to even reach the finish line. We're already exhausted.
Yep, got that right.
Stress built up. There's no energy. You got to preserve.
Yep, I'm going to tell you a valuable thing. Yeah, I'm going to tell you a valuable thing. See, what we do, we look at a lot of small pictures instead of looking at the big pictures of things. We, you know, in other words, let me give you an example. Now, the big picture is this. Now, they say there's a lot of killing, there's a lot of this and that. Now, to me, the big picture is all these bullets being made. They're so easy to get. You can walk right in Walmart and get a whole basket of them and nobody give you any question about, you know, nary one of them you buy. Now, me and you don't make no bullets, but we can go out there and take the gun and do all the shooting we want. So a lot of people are weakened on this earth. They're not strong enough to say no to things. So the more stuff you put in front of them, they're going to use it, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whether it's buying clothes, whether it's going eating yourself to death, it doesn't matter. You know, people are weak to the point. If it's in front of them, they're going to overdo it. So what do you think about that?
Heavy.
Oh, you still? Oh, you still there?
Oh, yeah. I'm still here.
What do you think about that?
Well, you know,
you
I mean, personally, I feel like the way you feel. You know, I recognize it. And I know what simply has to be done, and practice it religiously, and avoid bad things. And that's where I'm going with it. And that's where I've always focused my life toward, just knowing what's ahead of me and on my side. Like I, if you're in a race, you know, navigating goes all the way.
Does it? You know, people call you old-fashioned, you know, and they call you all the stuff you want. But if you look at life for what life really is, we all have been around here for a little while. And some things in life is just no return to. It's a history of it. It just constantly happens over and over and over and over again. Now, if you see that, something constantly happens over and over and over again, then what can you say to yourself? It's going to be hard for this to be changed. Because it's something that constantly keep happening. People don't want to change. You know, they think it's a way of life. But, you know, in my mind, it's not a way of life.
No, we see change every day. We see all different types of change, the good for the bad. But what I'm seeing in my hometown is change is for the bad, not improvement. So, you know, not for the betterment of yourself. It's all every man for himself type mentality. What can I get today?
That's why you got to go back to the big picture. Where does it all start? It starts at the top. So what you're going to have to do, you're going to have to work from the top back down again. That's why I don't only pray for you. I pray for everybody, even the top. You know, I see people pick certain individuals out. I'm not going to pick a certain individual. I'm going to pick everybody out because we all are part of this. So that's how I deal with it. I look at everybody, everything and everybody. And it's a big picture, a big picture. That's the only way you're going to help yourself. You got to look at the big picture. Where does it all begin at? Where does it begin? Just like I look at this corona, where does it begin? Only thing I heard you talking about is a shot and medication. But where does it begin? Let's work more on the top of it. Let me hear more about that. Where does it start? So how can we cut it off?
And right to this day, they still haven't pinpointed that, but it's all the question. Before they point fingers, they want to real know the real topics, and that's going to be a hard one to do. I mean, until they reveal the truth, because somebody somewhere knows where the origin of that come from.
Okay, well, what about AIDS? What about cancer? You know, stuff been around for centuries. All I see is you giving a whole bunch of medicines and all this type of stuff to contain this stuff. Where is it coming from? How do we stop it? In order to stop it, we got to go to the top. But you ain't going to the top because you're getting paid too well to go to the top. So you rather kill people and take and put the money in your pocket and kill people? Same thing with racing. You rather be out here helping people, you know, to try to, you know, do better with their cause and sit here and listen at a nice show and better educating each other and learning something from me, from you, from whomever. Or you rather sit here and act crazy every night. You know, we got choices in life. What do you choose?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
what
I think you're right. I think you're right, Brother Unknown. You're hitting the nail on the head.
Yeah,
you got to start from the top, find out where the source of it is and where it comes from. It seemed like that they put more scare out there than they did anything. They started talking about wear gloves, wear masks. Get some hand sanitizer, this and that. They put more fear out there than they did trying to find a cure for this and find out where it come from. They had so many rumors that it come from China. It come from animals. It come from this. It's a lab something. Somebody invented. It sounded like it was more confusion than it was anything. So it's hard, extremely hard for me to believe what the hell they talking about when they just guessing.
Okay, Shay, you know where most of that comes from? It comes from us as a whole. It's too many of us going opposite directions,
okay,
like two magnets pushing each other away. You know, if we would all get on some type of page trying to figure out what's killing us, but we're not worrying about that. We try to kill each other.
Yeah, yeah.
But if we stop that, and change it around, go right to the big picture, change it around, and trying to figure out why we dying, and still keep trying to kill each other, then you can see results. But until we go ahead and find that big picture, hey, man, I don't know. Don't know. But I ain't going to never change, though. I'm going to stay right on the big picture. They can call me old-fashioned. You call me what you want. But you look at me, I'm still going, and I feel 100% good. Just like I tell them everywhere I go around, man, I feel real good. And which I do. You know, because I'm going to keep looking at the big picture and keep trying to find out a way that I can stop from killing myself and somebody else.
Okay, okay. Before we go any further, fellas, we're gonna have to put that on hold for a second. I got a special guest coming on today. It's CompuCar Nitrous System will be on the show. And this man needs no introduction. I'm telling you, he's one of my friends. He's got a company called CompuCar Nitrous System. And he knows all about this nitrous. And I'm gonna tell you, when he come on, you're gonna get an understanding of what he's talking about. Hold on, let me move this. No, it's cricket. Okay. Y'all gonna understand that he knows a lot about Nitrous System, and he wants you to purchase his stuff, and then he will be in your back pockets. When I say that, I mean he's gonna be there explaining to you all the time what you need, where you having your problems at with your Nitrous System. Trust me, he's a man of great honor, integrity. I want to welcome y'all to the door. There he is. Big Ernie.
There he is.
CompuCar Nitrous System. What's up, Big Ernie?
I tell you what, it's a Sunday night. There's more mosquitoes outside than I have seen fleas on a dog. Oh, they eat you alive. Man, I tell you what, just talking about that. I tell you what, it looks like a damn parade coming down, just swarming. We've had a lot of rain the last 2 weeks.
We've been had a lot.
It's like in Vietnam when you had the mosquito duty. You had to bury your arm and stand there for 60 seconds, and somebody else had to count the mosquitoes. You couldn't swipe them off. Terrible. Hey, guys.
It was that bad, Ernie.
Sure, it was, yeah. Hey, this is Ernie with CompuCar Nitrous Oxide Systems. Now, he said that if you bought my equipment, that'd help you. And I'm going to have to correct him a little bit. I'll help anybody that has any equipment in hopes that I can get you back on track and into a tune-up that will work. And when we start with a tune-up, the tune-up always has to start at the carburetor. That is the main thing. I guess I'll tell you a little bit. CompuCar has been in business nearly 50 years. We are the oldest nitrous oxide company in the United States today. We don't sell pistons. We don't sell slugs. We sell nitrous. That's all we do, nitrous. And our phone number is 1-800-NITROUS. Easy enough to remember. And if you got any problems, like I said, I don't care what it is. If you got a problem with your race car, give me a call. If you've got a tune-up that you've got a problem with, give me a call. This stuff of having to take your car out to the track and run it for a year to 2 years in the hopes that you'll finally get it straight without tearing your motor up, that's not fun. That's not racing. That's aggravation. I can get you a tune-up, and I'm going to refer you. Y'all know Dog, so I'm going to use him as a lot of examples because we sponsor Dog, and he's a hard-headed guy to get around, and I told him I would sponsor him. And at that time, he was running 4 stages of nitrous, 2 stages on plates, and then 2 direct ports, and he had big jets in it, 104.99s in his plates. He had 40 28s in his direct port. And he was hurting his motor, constantly hurting his motor. I said, okay, Dog, I've developed this new equipment. Let me put it on your car. Let me put a tune-up in it and go down the track. Well, his thing was, don't mess with my carburetor. Well, the first thing you do in a tune-up is you've got to tune the carburetor. So I took the carburetor apart, put in there what it needed, put the carburetor back on, set the timing, phase the distributor, and we started off with a 7370 jet in the plate. One plate, 7370. And he says, what if it tears my motor up? I said, Dog, trust me. Well, we got an argument in the trailer, and that's how this thing is called a mad dog system. Because I was so damn mad at Dog, I couldn't stand it. But he left. He went to the track, house and hook. He called me about 2 hours later, and he said, Ernie, I just ran 0.3 seconds faster than I've ever run in this car. And we were running 7370, the smallest jets that I sent him. He picked up 0.3 on one stage of plate, and he took off the 4 stages. He finally said, hey, well, it took all the other stuff off, plugged it up. We've moved a couple of things around a little bit and got him faster. But dig this. He's got over 200 passes on his spark plugs. So that tells you a whole lot about a tune-up. If you ain't replacing spark plugs, you ain't hurting pistons, you're running. That's the reason why you see him come out and he says, right off the trailer. That's the tune-up that I like to put on cars. Nothing that you got to guess about. Okay, so let's start a few questions and we kind of go from there and see what y'all want to talk about. What you got, Shake? Hello?
Oh, thank you. I was coming around here to get it. I was making my way. All
right. Jake.
Yeah.
Hey.
I'm back.
You went away.
Hello? Yeah, I had to step off for a second.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm back. Turn it over to you. What kind of questions you got?
Okay. Let me get to this board. We got a lot of people got some questions. Let me get their mics open. Philip Walker, your mic is open. Then we're going to go down the line. Kristen and Melvin, y'all next. Come
hey,
on, Phil.
You on the line?
Hey. I was listening to you, and you were saying, like, direct port, things like what do you mean by port? Like, you were saying the 7370 and the carburetor.
Well, the carburetor, you start the combination with the carburetor. If you take, well, I always start with somebody, is if you take your car, do not turn the nitrous on. Can you make an eighth of a mile pass? I know it's not going to run as fast, but can you make an eighth of a mile pass? So,
right.
Philip, can you make an eighth of a mile pass on your car without the nitrous?
I'm not going to say yes because I'm not ready yet.
Okay. Let's say you said yes. We'll just say yes. That means that your carburetor jets are too big. There's several other things there that we have to talk about, but your carburetor just to be too big. But what we were talking about was that he had two plates, and he had two direct ports, and he was running 99 104s in the plates, and he was running 40 28s in the direct ports. A lot of nitrous. And we turned him over to a 73 nitrous, 70 fuel. For the first pass out. And that's what we do with everybody, unless it's a real small engine. That's a good, stable, you can make it to the other end without hurting anything. Now, then we can step it up, or we make it into a dual stage where you leave and then turn on more horsepower, so you can leave on 150 and turn on 400 more. No progressors. Because the whole idea of your... Yes, sir.
Now, Ernie, you said you asked Phil, can he make a eighth of a mile pass without nitrous? If he makes a eighth of a mile pass without nitrous, what did you say was the results of that were?
The jetting in the carburetor is too big, and with the jetting in the carburetor being too big, when you turn the nitrous on, you've got to guess of a combination, or you're going to end up hydraulicking a cylinder, which is going to pinch a ring, lift a ring, or backside a piston. All that is rich.
Oh. Because when we go to Florida at the end of the year in December, we was noticing a lot of those guys with the big cars was pinching a piston ring or raising a land groove, and that's because of too much nitrous. I mean, too much fuel.
Too much fuel going down in the motor. Because that's the reason why you have to judge the carburetor first. If the carburetor is jetted right, you're going to go out there at about 500, 550 foot, and the car's just going to want to nose over like it's running out of fuel because it is running out of fuel. The reason why we do that is when we put the Mad Dog system on, let's say the plate, it's mounted right underneath the carburetor. Now, the motor is normally going to have 14 to 15 inches of vacuum. When you turn that plate on, you're going to end up with about 24 inches of vacuum. So the jets that normally come in a carburetor are not in the 92 to 96 range are going to be way too rich, because now this extra vacuum coming through there is going to create more air coming across the venturi of the carburetor, and that's going to produce more fuel going into the motor, which means that you're over-rich. The fuel will go down, hit the bottom of the plume of the intake, and then it acts like a creek running down into the holes. So you end up, you know, you've heard people say, well, I've got a cold hole over here and a hot hole over there. Okay, that means that your carburetor is wrong, and you don't chase it. Go ahead.
So, Ernie, when I was in mechanic school back during the Moses days, I ain't going to say when they said Vaseline, is that what you're talking about, Vaseline?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right.
All right.
You know, if you're going to get the air-fuel ratio, and it's about like 14.3 is supposed to be the absolute correct. If you get higher than that, you're too lean, you're going to burn a piston.
Right.
About 95% of all cars that hurt motors get with pistons. It's done because they're too rich, not too lean. But and here again, if you've had your motor dyno tested, the jetting and dyno that they're doing dyno testing is for normally aspirated motors, not nitrous motors. They'll run that thing with the biggest jet and the most timing that they can do, and they'll print out that thing and go, damn, look at there, that motor made 1,200 horsepower. Well, that's wonderful, but that ain't what the hell you run. Because the first thing you do is go, okay, now the carburetor's too rich, it's got too much timing in it, so you've got to... What about the nitrous? Oh, you have to set that yourself. Now what the hell have you done? You know, you can set a nitrous system. Let's take a for instance, and this will probably touch a lot of people. Let's say we got an LS motor, 421 cubic inches, 10, 11 to 1. We switch it over to a carburetor. We got a camshaft in it. Da 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 da. It's got a 1050 on it. Okay, now, what's wrong with that combination? That sounds like a pretty stout combination. Well, number one, the carburetor is just about too big. An 850 would run better. Let's take that carburetor apart. What jets are in that carburetor? 92s, 93s. The jets are too big. Does it have a power valve in it? Oh, hell yeah, it's got a power valve in it. It's staggered jetting. Ooh. Okay, staggered jetting means it's set up for the street. Power valve says it's set up for the street. You got to take the power valve out and block it. And being a 421-inch motor, we need to put roughly 82 jet squares in there. So we're going to take those jets out of that carburetor, we're going to put them down to 82s. That's pulling the fuel out of the carburetor that it needs. The car's still going to crank up, run, rev, do everything you want it to do. But that's the first part of the tune-up. Now, the second part of the tune-up is making sure that we phase the distributor. Okay? What do we mean by phasing the distributor? When you shoot the timing of your motor, and you go, we're going to shoot 30 degrees, and you put the gun out there and you shoot it, you turn the distributor till it at 30 degrees, you lock it down, hey, it's time. Now, then you go to your computer or your MSD, and you put 10 degrees in it. So when the nitrous activates, it's going to pull out 10 degrees. Now, what does that do? You've first timed your motor so that the rotor button is lining up with the number one power just as it sparks. But then when you hit the nitrous button, you're taking out 10 degrees. What happens is the rotor button goes right on past that tower and then arcs back to the number one tower. You lose 10 degrees worth of spark, which is almost 40% of spark that's going to your spark plug in that gap inside the cap. So to phase the distributor, all right, we pull it around to 30. We look down there. Okay, our timing lines are up. Take a credit card or driver's license, stick it in there, set your air gap, Lock it down, check it, make sure it's snug. Pull the motor 10 more degrees to 20 degrees.
Ooh.
Now, without cranking up the motor or anything, loosen up your distributor. If you're Chevrolet, rotate it to the right until the rotor button comes into the hole on your distributor cap. Lock it down. Now, when you crank up the car and you shoot the distributor, you won't see the rotor button. But if you activate that rotor button will be right there in the hole. Now you're putting 100% of the fire to the spark plugs.
And that's phasing?
Have I lost anybody yet? That's phasing the distributor. Yes.
Ooh. Let me get these other mics.
Is not phasing the distributor.
Mm.
586-9969. Who we got, Carla?
Five eight six nine.
Who we got?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I can hear you.
Can hear me? Oh.
Yes.
586-612-9969.
Yes.
Oh, just jump in there.
Well, okay, I'm gonna jump in anyways. This is Christian. I was calling for a little interview earlier, but you know what? I do have a question about nitrous. It's way different, though. It's EFI, though. Do you deal with any EFI stuff?
Oh, yeah.
You do? All right. So I've got a little small displacement motor, automatic transmission, and I am using a wet shot to get on converter. I've been told using a dry shot and using computer and whatnot to compensate fuel. The dry shot will get on converter quicker than the wet shot. Does that make any sense? Is that true? Is there any truth to that?
If you're just using it to get up on the converter, a dry shop's fine. If you're looking to make, using the nitrous to make a lot of power downrange, I'd go with a wet. Well, on electronic fuel injection, you got this, you're in between two bands, the carburetor and the electronic fuel injection. With a computer system on your electronic fuel injection, if you can set the fuel rate for the nitrous, then a dry shot is the best way to go, because a lot of the intakes out there are not made to flow a liquid. You know, it's not, if you get, especially like an LS7 plastic intake or a Ford plastic intake, those intakes cross over like locking your fingers together, and they stick down in the intake runners about 2 inches. So if you're using a dry system, it's going to go in there and flow and turn up and go right into the runners. If you flow a wet system in that type of intake, since it's not designed to flow a liquid, which is a lot heavier, it will not, the liquid will not turn up and make it into that runner, nor will it work because the liquid is hitting the sides of those runners and puddling down in the intake. You run a good chance of a backfire. But if you set your computer up to run your dry nitrous system and you enrich with the injectors, then it's absolutely perfect.
Great. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Chris.
What we got?
What's happening, Shake and Bake?
Hey, tell everybody who you are and what kind of car you got.
All right. My name is Christian. I drive a 1998 Mitsubishi Eclipse GSX. I met Shake and Bake last month at Detroit Hood's PYOP, the race that Mike and the guys throw over at Onondaga Dragway. Formerly, they threw it out at Milan, but Milan shut down. So, I met Shake and Bake last month, chatted with him a little bit, and I'm honored to be on, to jump on with you guys. I want to say that earlier, I don't know the gentleman's name, but, you know, he was talking about keeping yourself healthy and all. I was listening to that whole thing. He had some pretty good words. I appreciate him saying all that. I was listening pretty good to that stuff. So, thank you.
Okay.
Also, I don't know. I've been racing for a little bit here. I've been working on cars, kind of got into them by myself really back in 2004. Just really enjoying it. It's been a passion of mine. It's been a lot of work, a lot of learning. I'm sure everybody knows that. But most importantly, I've met some really, really great people. And, you know, just having a blast with it. I'm having a blast meeting people. I'm having a blast getting out there and getting down the track. So,
well, one thing I can say is welcome to the family, and drag racing is a family. I have never been to a drag race that if I needed something, that somebody turned me away. And I've been extremely lucky in my life. I have been able to race everything that you can race. I ran a Top Fuel funny car for 10 years. But I could go to John Force, Kenny Bernstein, Dale Poldy, and I could ask them for a little bit of help, a little bit of information. They'd send their crew chief over there. If I needed a part, Poldy or one of those guys, if I needed a blower, yeah, take that one. Dan Pastorini, take that. We just got three of them in. They help you. Every racer is out there. It's a family event till you get to the starting line. Then it becomes a race. And on the other end, we're back to family again. And that's what I love about drag racing. All the family that we have that we can rely on. You go up and down the highway, you break down on the side of the road somewhere, you put out a call that you need help, somebody is going to be close to you. I love it. Back to you.
I could totally agree with that. I honestly, being driving an import, I didn't know how well people would. I don't know. Look at me at these no prep stuff, but a lot of the guys have been extremely cool, and it's been great. Like, it's been really great. So it's just, I'm happy to be involved with this stuff with everybody. So.
Well, you know, I would say is, we didn't find out you had a foreign car until after we found out you was broke down. So we'll make up for that. Back to you, mate.
Well, we also want to congratulate you on your win at Onondaga Drag Strip, Christian. And this is a show where we try to stay safe. We ask questions. We try to find out more stuff about racing. This is an educational channel as well as a grudge race and a no prep. So if it's something you want to know, we'll find the answer, or we'll ask around and get some information for you, because we don't want people to be left in the dark. We ain't leaving no races behind. Look, and you're always welcome to come on the show. I know that's your first time. And people like Big Ernie, he gives everybody some good information, and I have to shut up and listen to him. But we really appreciate it.
I tell you what, if I don't know the question you're asking,
hold on, man.
I will promise you that I will call the manufacturer, and I will have the manufacturer come on the show and answer your question. And I do a show on Monday night at 6 o'clock Eastern time called Ask Ernie Tech Talk. It's a one-hour show, and we've had MSD, Crane Cams, Diamond Pistons, Mickey Thompson, RJS Safety, Don Kennedy Race Car Insurance, and just on and on and on and on. People come on the show so we can bring that information directly to you. So we want to make sure that you get good, honest information. There's too many. Everybody's got a different way to do something. And I ain't saying that you can't get to Chicago only by my route, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to have the safest and the easiest route to get there. Now, if you want to go climb the mountains to come back around, you're going to get there, but it's going to cost you a lot more.
Right. Hey, what's the number to your talk show on Monday?
Shake. What's the number to my show on Mondays?
Hold on, I can get it for you. You don't know the
number? I don't know. No, dog calls me and says we're going to be live in 5 minutes, 4 minutes.
I get it for you, Phil.
And you know, under any situation, we may get a phone number on the show from about 10 different locations. So I just look at the clock and say, if it says 6, the phone rings, okay, I'm on talking.
And what time do you say it starts Monday?
6 o'clock Eastern. And if you can Google it, it's Ask Ernie Tech Talk.
That's PM or AM?
PM.
PM. 6 o'clock our time, Phil. 6 o'clock our time.
Yeah.
iHeartRadio.
All right. Okay. Let me get Melvin on this show. This is one of the guys that bought some of your equipment, Ernie.
Melvin, Melvin's a good guy.
Hey, Ernie.
Hey, what's happening?
How you been?
Man, doing good.
Hey, I'm all right, Ernie. You know, I'm not going to say a whole lot except for your equipment is some of the best stuff that's on the planet. I'm going to let you go ahead on with the show and explain it to these guys who's got these questions and helping them out and everything like that because you got me flying over here. I don't have any issues with CopyCar. Hey,
well,
I listened.
I appreciate
and
that.
I learned. I listened and I learned, and I don't tear up my motor no more. I can throw all kind of nitrous down inside of it. And all it do is run faster and faster.
Well, man, I appreciate that. It means a lot. And like I said, yep. It's being able to go fast and save your motor.
Yeah. And that has been doing it. And that the main thing that he's talking about, that carburetor, the guys is listening, listen to him. Because that carburetor is so important in what he's talking about. And I didn't even know it until when he told me and I done it. It worked, and it works perfectly. So keep listening to him. He ain't going to tell you nothing wrong that's going to make your car go from A to B. And just like he said, it's not going to be hurt when he go from A to B with it. So if you want some good information, just listen to Ernie. He'll take you where you want to go, messing with this nitrous. And with that being
Never
said, Ernie, I'm going to let you
that.
Go ahead on with the show with Shake and Bake. And, hey, I miss you, you know, Ernie. I miss talking with you, having fun and everything, man. But I'll be back out there. Got a lot of stuff
man,
going on behind the scenes right now, but
you got to do
once I get it all smoothed out, I'll be
to.
Back.
Ain't no problem. You call me anytime you want me. Thank you, Melvin.
All right, Ernie. All right, Ernie.
Yes, sir.
I'm going back on mute, Shakey Bake. All right.
All right. All right. Well, that's one example of your stuff out there working. There's another one, Big Ernie. Melvin told me, he say, Jake, I bought some of Big Ernie's stuff, and, man, I ain't been doing nothing but going fast. And he been winning some races lately, Big Ernie.
Melvin's I've heard he's been,
and getting
that,
in the tank with
he was having a hard time, and his combination was off, and we made some changes, and he, I said, if you don't do everything I tell you to do, don't do anything. You can't half-ass this combination. It's a very simple combination. If you hit, you see, you've been to the racetracks, you hear guys hitting the bump button. Sounds like the car just going to tear the tires off. Well, if you hit the bump button on our equipment, it's going to go, wooden, wooden. You're not going to hear this, man. You don't need all that. That is going dead lean. So the combination is safe. You know, we're looking at most spark plugs for most cars, 9s or 10s, depending on the combination. And we want about 20 to 22 thousandths gap on the spark plugs. And no, spark plugs do not come from the factory gap. So if you're not checking your spark plugs, you're having a problem. But just those little things right there. Yes, sir.
Ernie, when a guy pulls this, after he made a pass, when he pulls them plugs out, what color are we looking for?
A light cardboard color, depending on the fuel you're running. Because, you know, if you pour some fuel, you get blue, some you get gold. You're going to get that color on your spark plug to some extent. But what we're looking for is a light cardboard color and the electrode and the strap, those are, when they come from the factory, have very sharp edges on them. So what we want to do is we want to look at those through a little magnifying glass and see if we're getting any rounding on the electrode sticking up or on the edge of the strap. Are we getting any curling on that? That's more what we're looking for. I'm not worried about a timing mark. Timing marks are for normally aspirated cars. If you try to adjust your nitrous system to a timing mark, you're going to burn your motor up. It's going to lift the piston. So, you know, this combination, we're using a 3-4 jet spread, 5.5 pounds of fuel pressure, and go play.
You say 5.5 pounds of fuel pressure?
Yep. Now, if you've got NX or one of these other guys, they want you to run 10 pounds of fuel pressure. Okay, that's them and that's their deal and their jet pattern. The jet pattern,
right.
I tell you, if I put it in your kit, your NX or whatever it is, you put it in there and you set it exactly how I tell you to set it, it's going to go down the track. Now, where you start really having problems is when you start seeing these half-inch NOS plates. NOS means not our stuff. You can figure that around where it's supposed to be, but it's not our stuff.
Right,
it's got
right.
a half-inch plate, the spray bars are 1/16, and the hole going through the middle of the plate is 75 thousandths. So if you have a jet that is 80 thousandths, now the spray bar becomes the jet. It only has a 75,000 hole. It's like the weakest link in a chain.
Oh, so with an 80,000 jet and a 70,000 pinhole, so now it's going to make it come out like a stream, ain't it, Ernie?
Well, it's going to make it come out. The limiting factor is no longer the jet. It's the spray bar itself. So the only thing you're going to get is what that tube can feed, which is 75 thousandths. They'll sell you 400 horsepower jets. It ain't going to make it. You're going to have a tune-up that you start chasing. You're going to start having problems. You're going to nip pistons. You're going to have backfires. You're going to have all kinds of problems. You know, we've flowed everything you can flow. And we tend to do different things than most other companies do. If you've got a direct port system with a fogger system, whatever you call it, and you've got bent tubing on it, okay, we don't do that. Our direct port systems are all done in braided steel, just like you would a top fuel car. You know, that way when nitrous and fuel come out, it goes out from the distribution block into an arc right into the jet. You don't have problems with bent tubing, collapsed lines, busted nuts, none of that stuff. And you don't have to worry about rusting the lines because it's Teflon core. It's smoother, less restrictive, and it works absolutely great. How much power can we make? A whole lot more than you could use. Our plate system, our Mad Dog plate system, comes with jetting up to 400 horsepower. All right. So let's say you want to go to the dual stage. Each side can go to 400 horsepower. And we're only using two spray bars. But you go, well, I got to have more than that. Okay. Let's theoretically max it out like we do on some of the mud trucks. You can get as much as 750 horsepower per stage off the Mad Dog plate. So that's a total of 1,500 horsepower you can turn on right there. Not that you'll ever use that much, but it has the ability to give you that much power. Mud trucks, they have to have everything they can do on the starting line instantly because if they turn it on downrange, it upsets the combination and the car turn over backwards. Drag car, we set it up so that you leave the starting line with what the car can handle. Well, say the car can handle 200 horsepower leaving the starting line. Hey, that's great. But 5/10 of a second from the starting line, we're going to turn on 300 more horsepower. The car's already in motion. That is dead static weight. If your car weighs 3,000 pounds, that 3,000-pound butt is stuck to the starting line. Once we get it rolling, just rolling, it doesn't take any energy to make it go down the track. So you leave with what the car can handle on the starting line, half a second out, turn on the second stage, and puppy, I'm going to promise you, you're going to be going down the track. Back to you, sir.
And that's without, the, and you'll be going down the track without breaking a pan up something.
Yeah, it, all the strain is off the starting line, is off your whole combination, because we're leaving with what the car can handle on the starting line. Once it's rotated,
now that brings me,
you know,
that brings me back to a question we had years ago, Ernie. Guys was on a subject about what's more hard on a car, the quarter of a mile or eighth of a mile. Now, do you, with a car taking off from the dead standstill, we know that's a lot of stress on the engine because you got to overcome inertia, gravitational pull, I'm going to say, and get the car moving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it's got to go all out in the eighth of a mile. And I think some of the guys were mentioning about in the quarter of a mile, it has a tendency of calming down a little bit. Is that true?
Well, what will happen on the quarter of a mile is the car, we're changing, we're going into a different type of a tune-up. We're going to run a little bit richer on a quarter mile track than we do on the eighth mile track. But a single operator can make equal to, if not more, horsepower and torque in an eighth of a mile than two fours can.
Wait a minute, say that again now.
In an eighth of a mile, a car with a single four barrel set up right will outrun two fours nearly all the time because a single four barrel produces more bottom-end intake and the car is going to have more intake runner velocities than the two fours will. After the eighth of a mile, the two fours are going to have an advantage because now the motor's in high gear and going up into higher RPMs. But the eighth of a mile, I'll take a single four every day. Quarter mile, we'll discuss two fours. But even at two fours, you have to set the car up. The carburetors have to be set up properly. And don't buy, if you're running nitrous, stay away from these fancy carburetors. I know they've all got good stories. Buy a bone stock Holley 1050, 850, 1150. Order that. Make sure it's got block offs on the valve, and you want a two-circuit carburetor. Why do you want a two-circuit carburetor? I can hear y'all asking
carburetor.
Right now. Two-circuit
carburetor.
Right. A two-circuit carburetor is your idling in drag racing, and you're wide open. We don't need three or four circuits. That's for round-track cars or GT cars that are making turns and letting off the gas and getting back in and progress, you know, working the throttle. We don't do that in drag racing. We idle. We're wide open. We idle. Back to you. Let's see what we got next.
Shit, I ain't never heard of that two-circuit carburetor. But that's good. That's
well,
good advice.
Well, look at on the top of your carburetor. Inside the Venturi area, you'll see a number of air bleeds over by each port. It's either going to have two, you're going to have three, it can have, I've seen four, or you can have the metering blocks in there with four or five holes in the metering block. And that's to give you better throttle response coming out of a turn. And mid-range to low-range, back up, you know, where you're shifting and really changing a lot of RPM. That's not needed. It creates problems in drag racing. Power valve.
So you don't need all them. You don't need all them them bleeders?
No.
No, okay. Two circuits. You'll see two circuits or two metering jets in, right there by each port of the carburetor. That's how you can tell it out of two or three or four circuits. Just count how many air bleed jets you got in there.
Okay, so you got me looking for these metering jets now.
And what happens if you're running a power jet? What happens there? You'll normally
you
say they got numbers.
You talking about the power? You talking about the
power
valve?
Yeah, the power valve.
Okay.
You got numbers on them. And that's roughly how much it's going to add to your jet pattern. But if, with all your drag racing cars, you're running big camshaft. The motor's not making a lot of vacuum. And when you try to crank up sometimes, you'll crank up, you'll hear the car go, it pops back through the carburetor. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Crank it, let's crank it back up. Well, that little hiccup probably just blew the power valves completely out. You do not use power valves on a drag race motor. They work great in road racing, but nothing in drag racing.
We take them out and get rid of the power valve.
Exactly.
Because the power valve is basically for a street application.
For street application and coming off of low to medium circuit, where it's going to allow that extra bleed with the vacuum change. And they work off of the vacuum that the carburetor is designed for. But in drag racing, the camshafts have so much overlap that they have almost no vacuum because everything is so big in the motor. The camshaft's big. You're running normally big heads, big ports, big carburetors. So the engine does not have a lot of vacuum. So those things are not going to do you any good. They're going to create problems. That's the reason why you're running vacuum pump on a lot of engines.
Got you. Ain't no room for a power valve because of the less vacuum that engine is making or that cam is making. We don't need it.
Absolutely. In fact, if you're running a street type car with a big camshaft, what you need to do is look in a late model car or diesel truck and get that vacuum pump that they run on most modern cars today. That vacuum pump and tie it to a number three coffee can, and that puppy will pull all the vacuum you want to run all of your vacuum switches and everything else. It makes living life a whole lot easier.
Yeah, my tow truck is a diesel. It's got that vacuum pump on it, and on there for if you need brake booster, if you need some type of vacuum stuff in your street application car. But for grudge racing,
well, see, a diesel truck does not make any vacuum.
Right,
it's compression, but no vacuum. That's why you have the pumps on there so you can run all those fancy valves and levers on your dash that says turn the air conditioner on.
Mm-hmm.
But now
so
we can get
Ernie,
into gasoline,
still,
spark plugs. Go ahead.
What were you saying? If you can get into gasoline and spark plugs, what?
I said we can get into conversations on gasoline, spark plugs, just on and on and on. Any little thing that you want to know about a race car, I'll be more than happy to help you with it. And like I said, I've got other professionals that I can turn you over to give you even more information than I can give you.
Now, what type of fuel do you recommend, Ernie?
We recommend Renegade Racing Fuels. It is a direct changeover from BP. It's less expensive You notice I didn't say cheaper, because there's nothing cheaper in racing. It's less expensive. A drum, a pail of 23, you're looking about $110 to $120 a pail. The Renegade, the VP right now is like $135.
And when you say a pail, you're talking about a 5-gallon container?
Yeah. Right. And we did test back-to-back on a 706 motor that we used for a mule motor. Went in there in VP. We had been running it for about 6 months, and Renegade said, give this a try. We drained the fuel. We drained the carburetor. We put in the Renegade, and the difference we found with that 706 with split dominators, hot rod motor, is it went 1 mile an hour faster on the Renegade. I'm not going to say that the Renegade made it go 1 mile an hour faster, because so many things can change. But as far as the spark plugs, the way the car acted, it worked. It was a lot cleaner, easier to see the tune with the Renegade than it was the VP.
Hmm.
Back to you, sir.
Now, when it comes to spark plugs, what do you recommend?
Recommend NGK 9s and 10s. NGK 11s should only be used by extremely large cubic inch motors, when I say 800 plus, superchargers, turbochargers, or blowers. They're not needed on a nitrous car, because those plugs are too cold. And if you go up on Coffee Car Facebook page.
You say the 11s are too cold?
11s are way too cold. That's the coldest plug that they make.
Okay, so NGK 9 or 10 for nitrous car.
Right. You will want the copper core V-groove. And one way you can tell if you got the right spark plug is check the resistance on the spark plug. If I'm going to get spark plugs, I take my ohm meter with me. I turn it on, set it on ohms, and I check every spark plug I buy. And what I'm looking for is the closest to zero as you can get. And a perfect spark plug in the NGK Copper Core V-Power is a zero reading. I have checked spark plugs and got as much as 4,500 ohms in a spark plug. I've got nearly 19,000 ohms reading in a spark plug wire. So your spark plug wires are just as important as your spark plugs, because if you run a high-resistance wire and a high-resistance spark plug, you will lose roughly 40% of the spark at the spark plug. And on the big end of the track, that's when you're going to start feeling the car falling over, surging, or your mile an hour falling way off. So it's very important to make sure you have the right wires and spark plug.
So when it comes to my wire, the ohm resistance on the wire should be?
I like for it to be as close to zero as possible.
Close to zero as possible on the wire, close to zero as possible on the plug.
If you go up on CompuCar's Facebook page, there's a video that I pinned toward the top, checking spark plugs and spark plug wires. It's about a 15-minute deal that I did, not to put it out there on the Internet and get everybody going, wow, because I did it to see, so I could see what was going on after I finished the test. And when I finished the test, I went, wow. I learned a whole lot about spark plugs doing that test myself. And we went to the track, and we got spark plugs from different race cars, used spark plugs, put them in a test bed, and then we fired them with 500,000 volts. And you can see the difference between every one of them.
So those Bosch plugs, they're not good.
We use spark. We check spark plugs. There's about four different manufacturers. We did the Tri-Fire, the E3s. We did it's just a bunch of different spark plugs and coil packs, everything else. And it really made a major difference in every one of them. And by the end of the video, you're making up your mind that what you got may not be what you really need.
Mm-hmm. So we back to that combination I talked about before, having everything in order to get the best pass possible.
Absolutely. If you've got a Summit Racing catalog in your bathroom, throw it away. You're spending too much time reading it, and if you read everything on there that says it's going to give you 10, 15 more horsepower, heck, by the time you get through going to the bathroom, you've done made 200 more horsepower. Doesn't work that way. Combinations have to be combinations that work together, not fight each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And part of advertisement is to sell their product, even if they have to forge some numbers to get you to buy that part.
Well, we don't do that. We don't advertise. We quit advertising about 10 years ago because we wanted to be direct to the racer. We sold to Keystone. We sold to Jags. We sold to Summit Racing. So I found out what they were doing to the racer. They had five increases 1 year on our equipment. And then they called me and said they wanted a bigger discount other than what we were giving them. And I said, okay, we'll give you a bigger discount. Zero. You've raised the price to the racer five times. We haven't increased the price to you a dime. And now you want to raise it again and give us to give you more discount. I'd rather work with a small shop or direct with a racer than I would work with any big company. I respect the small guy. I have more trust in the small guy. And most of the time, he appreciates what you do. So that's what we do. We haven't advertised in 10 years. So people say, well, hadn't heard of you. Yeah, no. But if you have heard of us, it was from somebody that's running our equipment. And we stay busy. And we're the only company that has a lifetime warranty on our solenoid.
So that one of the systems you sell, I know, is the one you sold, dog. That was called the what?
That's the Mad Dog series. That's our top-of-line series. We have a single-stage, dual-stage, and direct port. And you can run them all together. But we also have stuff that you can run on a lawnmower or side-by-side. We do a lot of those.
You got something like the Sneaky Pete?
Oh, boy, do we have a Sneaky Pete. Ours is called the Street Heat. It's a gym bag.
Street Heat.
And when you – Street Heat. When you get the kit, you open up the box, it's a black gym bag. Inside that gym bag is a 10-pound nitrous bottle mounted to a backboard. Everything's wired up. For the electrical, you pull it forward to the driver's compartment, plug it into the cigarette lighter. It has a coil cord button molded in. You just finished wiring up the electrical. Nitrous line runs out and goes into the air intake at the air cleaner. Yeah, you just put in the nitrous system. Crank it up, plug and play, wide open throttle, hit the button. It's adjustable from 20 to 100 horsepower, depending on the motor you're putting it on. If you're putting it on the Hemis or the LS series stuff, look for about 150 horsepower with the biggest jet. And for the power made, it's hidden. It's a street sweeper, sleeper. You go out there, They can look under your hood. They ain't going to see nothing. They look in your trunk. If you hide it right, they ain't going to see nothing. And it'll take 2 seconds off your 8-mile time.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yes. Ooh.
You giving some people some ideas, Ernie.
Well, sometimes in racing, it's what you don't see that makes power. Like I say, a hidden street heat, right, hidden right. I could let the owner come in and show him the hood and say, tell me, where is it? They can't tell you. It's just that easy to put in and that easy to hide. Looks like it came from the factory.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Shake, I didn't mean to take over your show tonight.
That's what I wanted you to if do, you need... to take over the show.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm game. I'm here. So however y'all want me, we'll just stay at it.
Hey, now when it comes to the when it comes to that nitrous, that one that you call a street heat, that's pretty much already set and tuned. Or is it different application for different cars?
Any fuel-injected car, period. I don't care if it's a 94 Mustang or a 2021 Corvette.
Okay. So it's mild enough where to work.
It's ready to go.
Mild enough to work on fuel injection.
Oh, absolutely. You can go on a four-cylinder with no problem. You can snap it up to a V8, a supercharged, turbocharged. It works with all of them. And if you got a shop that's doing a lot of nitrous, this is a kit that one stop number takes care of every fuel injected car that comes in. You don't have to say, oh, you got an Infiniti. We can't get a kit for that. Yeah, you can. A Golf diesel. Yeah, you can. You put it on diesel trucks. You order a 690-310 diesel unit, and it comes with different jettings. Other than that, it's the same thing.
Because, Ernie, I was down at so when they had that dust rate, and I seen a Nova, one of them old-school Chevy Novas, had a diesel engine in it. Man, that sucker was carrying the mail, Ernie.
Yes, sir. A lot of nitrous and a jacked up Cummings. Big supercharger.
Ooh.
And he is fast.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
But like I said, you can do it on your dually, you can do it on your crew cab, you can do it on your Escalades, Denalis, Tahoes, Mustangs, whatever you got. Well, we've done a Ferrari F40. So I guess we could just about peek out at whatever you want to do.
So your
like
solenoid,
if you got
Ernie,
an application, let me know.
Your solenoid is Ernie's lifetime?
Yes, they have a lifetime warranty. It doesn't matter if you bought them new, used, at a swap meet, at a yard sale, or out of a junkyard. As long as they exist and they have not been physically abused, they're under warranty. Now, if you send it in and the tower's been crushed because somebody used a pair of pliers, you'll have to buy a tower. But other than that, everything else is under warranty.
Yeah, quite naturally. The least they can do. But that's good, though. You're giving a lifetime warranty on the solenoid.
We have people that send their solenoids in every year. You have to check that out. All they have to do is pay return freight.
Now, Ernie, give us your intake, and I already know what it is, but give the audience your intake on, I don't want to make you mad. of guys heating them nitrous bottles up. I'm going on mute.
Hey, I'm going on mute now. Okay. Heat your nitrous
Hello?
Bottle. Hello? Does that create a problem?
Hold on. Can y'all hear it? Sound like it was
if you
a little
heat your
water.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead. No, we're going to try it now.
If you heat your bottle with a torch, you go, well, everybody does it. Okay. What happens is when you're using that torch, you're heating up the aluminum container. You're changing the molecular structure. As you move that torch from side to side, it starts causing it to walk and swell and contract. You can get to the point where you have changed the molecular structure of that bottle, and it can and will explode. If it explodes, the expansion rate of a superheated nitrous gas versus the liquid is 15,000 to 1, meaning it's going to blow that car completely apart. You're going to kill the driver. The person with the torch is going to be dead, and the shrapnel is susceptible to hurt spectators and everybody else around you. A bottle heater, electric bottle heater, with a pressure gauge, you put it in there, you watch it, gets where it wants to go, you unplug it. It's not changed the structure of the bottle at all. And I've got bottles here at the shop that have been overheated to the point that they were about to explode. And I have had to testify in way too many wrongful death suits where people heated their bottle with a torch, it exploded, and they wanted to sue the nitrous company. And I'll tell you, no, not the first racer won the case. Because as soon as we get that bottle, we inspect it, we see the first burn mark on it, it's out of here. It has been abused under the federal mandate. In fact, you're not even supposed to refill a bottle that has a burn mark on it.
Because, Ernie, when you put that heat to the side of the bottle, it kind of softens the metal, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. You don't think it does it, but everything that you put on that bottle, especially with limited heat, like a torch, it's producing carbon. That carbon can get impregnated into that aluminum. It'll cause that aluminum structure to start giving. And it's like a piece of crystal glass. A little ding, it doesn't mean a whole lot, but that crack never stops. And a nitrous bottle, it starts weakening in a spot, and then it gets a little swell. You can't see it. You can measure it and probably find it. But as you keep going, that swell gets bigger and bigger until it gives way. So don't use a torch. Use a bottle heater. They're faster. They're safer. And they work. Order a 110-volt bottle heater. I can plug it in, and I can promise you, you can't hold it in your hand in 45 seconds. Heck, I've used a 110-volt bottle heater to make coffee at a race, make soup, beef stew, even boil water with that puppy. So don't underestimate a bottle heater. Back to you, sir. Back to you.
I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm back.
Yeah. Yeah, I know a lot of guys take that torch, Ernie, and puts it to the bottle, and they get away with it this year, next year, several times they did it, and they feel like, oh, it ain't nothing going to happen. But it's that one day. It's that one freaking day where it might give loose, and it's going to take out everybody in that crowd.
And I see these guys in the Oklahoma race group What are they doing? They're walking around with torches in their hands, heating the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
At least they ought to show what you shouldn't do, or show what they should show you what you should do, not shouldn't do. So now they're telling everybody, well, I heat my bottle with a torch. You can do to it. You can do it too. And yes, you can do it to you, as long as you get by with it.
Monkey see, monkey do.
Oh, if you won 2 weeks in a row with a purple wheel on the right side, the third week, there'd be 90 people there with a purple wheel on the right side.
Monkey see, monkey do. Yes,
that's
sir.
It, man. I hate to say it, but
my mom,
you know, you always want to copy the guy that's winning.
Hey, Ernie, when I was a kid, my mama used to tell me, boy, if everybody else jump off the bridge, you going to jump off the bridge too? I was like, no, mom. So, no, you don't do what you see everybody else do. You got to make sense about what you do. I don't want to buy a used bottle from somebody that I don't know if that joke been heated with a torch 99 times, and I might get to 101 and blow up.
Yeah. And, you know, and talking about bottles, depending on what bottle you got, you know, every bottle is basically a bottle. There's nothing special about somebody's bottle. It's a coffee cup. You put coffee in it. All right? But what the big difference is how do you get the nitrous out of the bottle. On our valves, our competition valves, we have 3/8-inch pipe siphon tubes, which is nearly a 1/2-inch outside diameter. We can take the other company's siphon tubes and stick them inside of ours. So just because you got a valve that says high flow on it, usually what it means is that's just a label they stuck on it. That's not the performance of it. Because it only has a 1/4-inch pipe in it. And you can take their suction tube and put it in our siphon tube. What that means is if you've got a nitrous bottle, it says you got to go to number 8 to go fast. Well, the reason why you had to go to number 8 is because their siphon tube wasn't large enough to get the nitrous out of the bottle.
We can't hear you now, Ernie. It sounds like you in the backwoods or in the water.
All right, you with me now?
Okay, now try.
Okay. These companies out here has got these number 8 nitrous lines. It's way too big, but the problem is they're trying to make up for not being able to get nitrous out of the bottle. So they would just fill up this big line. And you would run this big line to the end of the track, then it would start surging because the bottle couldn't fill the line up. It's what's in the bottle, the siphon tube. If it's not the right size siphon tube, if it's not a 1/2-inch in diameter, you're losing horsepower.
Now, when you say siphon tube, for the people that don't know, what do you mean when you say siphon tube, Ernie?
Well, inside the bottle, you have the bottle and the valve. If you unscrew the valve, you'll see a tube, a dip tube that goes all the way down to the bottom of the valve. That's called a siphon tube. And that is, gives the ability to pick the nitrous up out of the bottom of the bottle and feed it to your nitrous system. If you try to pick it up off the top of the bottle, there's nothing up there but gaseous nitrous, and it wouldn't make the horsepower.
Right. So the size of that tube in the bottle should be a what?
All of our bottles in competition have a 1/2-inch siphon tube versus a 1/4-inch siphon tube.
Less restriction.
Less restriction and more power. More flow all the way through the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of little secrets. A lot of little secrets. the things that your tuners charge for. Well, I don't charge for telling you how to go fast. I think that's part of my job, you know, especially the guys that are running my equipment. You know, there's no secrets. I'm going to tell you everything there is out there. I want you to win. I want you to go fast. I want you to make lap after lap. I don't want you worrying about your nitrous system blowing your motor up before you get to the finish line. Yes, you can still have problems, but we can mitigate a tremendous amount of those problems with the proper tuner.
Yeah, because I imagine some of those companies out there just want to sell you some parts, but then if you blow your car up, oh well, they don't really give a gosh darn.
Well, I tell you what happened last year. For about 8 weeks, one of the other companies was giving our phone number out for their tech, and had
oh, really?
One customer calling in just raising hell. And I said, hold on a sec, let me ask you a couple of questions. What do you have? And he was telling me, and I ordered it last week. And I've called you and called you. Hold on a sec. Go look at the bottle. What does it say on the bottle? He told me, I said, no, this is CopyCar Nitrous Systems. This is a totally different company. He says, is this 1-800-NITROUS? Yes, sir, it is. He said, well, that's the number they told me for tech. I said, I'll help you get the tech, but that's not our equipment. So got him fixed. He was happy. And he ended up buying more equipment. You know, happy customers, a happy customer. And it's trust. You know, I'm here to not blow smoke at you. I'm here to tell you the truth about what you got. If you're doing something wrong, I'm going to tell you it's wrong. If you're going to buy a carburetor or an intake, and it's not, I know it's not going to work, I'm going to tell you don't order it. If you've got it, I'm going to tell you send it back. You don't need it. If you got a problem with your carburetor, send it to me. I'll go through it, set it back up, and send it back to you.
Hey, Ernie, when it comes to that carburetor, I've seen on the internet where they talk about a formula how you can tell what carburetor is right for your engine, your cubic inch. Does that formula kind of work?
Well, I've got it at my work area. I try not to remember it because there's so many numbers going back and forth. But you can run the cubic inches times the RPMs times 3650. Divide that by something. I'll give it to you tomorrow. And that way you can figure out what carburetor should you have on there. But in drag racing, you run that formula and then you add 25% to it. The bigger the carburetor you have, the lower the torque number that you have. So
it will lower the torque number.
When the carburetor is right, the torque goes up. And a carburetor that's too big not only loses bottom end, but it never picks up on the top end. You go out there, car surges, or it takes out a piston.
Ooh.
Custom
carburetors
are the worst thing you can buy if you're running nitrous. You're going to spend a lot of money for something that you do not need and cannot use.
You say the custom carburetor?
Yeah. If they say, well, I've got this 1050 that is 1300 CNC.
The ones that got all them different rainbow colors.
Oh, ain't they pretty?
If
it don't go fast, make it pretty. But the deal is, a stock Holley carburetor will do everything you need even better on nitrous. And it's going to be less expensive. If they tell you that they've got a 1050 carburetor that flows 1300 CFM, that means they have modified the carburetor.
you do not want it. That is for a normally aspirated car. How are
Oh, man, Ernie, you feel it. I got so much stuff I'm trying to write down and keep up. Uh-oh, you're killing me. You're killing me.
That's good. You're listening.
Yeah. I know this stuff is important, and it's always good to go over it and put it, reiterate this stuff in your head because, you know, we're getting old. We tend to forget sometimes.
Well, you know, me and you have worked together for years. So you know that, you know, what's out there, and you know a lot about what I tell people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I get a lot of these young kids out here to think these Hellcats is all this and that. But some of the guys don't have the money for a Hellcat because a Hellcat, you're talking from $60,000 to $80,000 car. But
yeah.
These young guys want to have a little regular Mustang or Malibu, and they want to compete with them Hellcats. And I told them it ain't hard. And I'm going to try to pull them to the show. I'm going to pull them to the show and let them, you know, let them get to know you and let, you know, you get to talking to them. I like the way you talk, Ernie, because I can tell the power in what you're saying, and it's convincing. My mama used to also tell me, son, you can listen to 1,000 people, but only a few spirits is going to land in your heart. And when I listen to you, I can understand that. So some of these guys out here would love to have a regular Mustang beat a Hellcat. And I'm going to help them find that.
Last week, I had a gentleman come in that did not know anything about drag racing, but he wanted to go drag racing. He had a 2018 Dodge Ram with a Hemi in it. And it was, you know, it looked pretty. And I told him, I said, first thing we want to start with is a bag kit. He come back, his first pass without nitrous was 15:37. His first pass on nitrous, he said, I'm in love. And he went through 5 bottles of the first week.
5 bottles?
Yeah. I mean, he went through 5 bottles of the first week. He said, I love this. And now he wants to step it up and go to a 2-stage, and okay. And he wants to add a few other things, so I got the combination for him. And we're looking to take this, what was a week ago, a stock Dodge 5.7, and put a camshaft in it, a locker in the rear end, and go to 2-stage nitrous system. And I told him, I said, with that, I'm looking for, you know, mid to high tens in the quarter mile.
Uh-huh.
This is a work truck. This is a truck that has a ladder rack on it. He's a painter. During the week, he's got ladders on his rack. But he drives to the track, and he's going to have a 10-second working truck. So I said, going fast is not a problem. It's a combination.
Okay, I'm kind of burned out, Ernie. Let me see. Anybody got any questions they want to ask? Hey, Philip, you got any questions you want to ask Big Ernie? Philip, you still there?
Hey, Philip.
Yeah, I'm still here. He basically answered all my questions. I'm still looking for that number for tomorrow.
I get it for you when we get off the show. I have it for you that we can listen in to the CompuCar nitrous system and get some more tech tips.
Hey,
like
so Ernie.
Yes, sir.
So, Ernie, so basically you're talking about basically if you're running no nitrous and you're doing good, you basically need another carburetor that's set up for nitrous to put on there so you don't have to bother your other carburetor.
Right. If you're going to be specific that you drive around town all the time and you got a street carburetor on it, not a problem. Get you another one, jet it, have it prepared. It's easy to change out, and you don't have problems.
Okay.
But now remember, it's only 4/5/16 bolts on each bolt and a screwdriver, and you can change the carburetor in 5 minutes.
Yes, sir.
But make sure you got the blue gaskets on your carburetor. If you've got those brown paper ones, take your carburetor off your car, put it on the workbench, get the bowls off, clean all that crap off, and put the blue Teflon gaskets on. They can be reused over and over again, and they don't leak.
I was about to ask you, talking about the float, the bowl gaskets.
Right.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Get the bowl gasket and the throttle body gasket. They're cheap. They're $5-7 for each end.
Okay.
Hey, brother Mel. Come off mute, Mel.
Oh, hey, baby, I'm here. I picked up some more tech tips tonight here with you, Ernie. I'm just sitting back listening. You know I'm always observing.
Hey,
I hear
man.
You. Every time I hear you and listen to you, I learn something. Yep.
God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth. I mean, folks should listen twice as much as you talk.
I heard that before.
Corey, yeah, but a good show, guys. Ernie good show.
Yes, sir.
You got anything?
If we can help
Ernie?
You, anyone. Yes, sir.
Good show.
Okay,
good show.
If I can help you, give me a call. Computron Nitrous Oxide Systems at 1-800-648-7687. Now, I know you're not going to remember that number, but 1-800-NITRUS, that's what those numbers spell. We've been in business so long, we own the name. And I can promise you, there's a whole lot of companies that would really like to get my phone number. But if we can help you, give me a call. I will help you. I don't care whose equipment you're working with. I appreciate y'all letting me come in tonight and visit. Just like homecoming. Anytime you want me back on the show, just let me know. Happy to do it.
Oh, okay. Appreciate you too, Big Ernie. Unknown, you got anything for Big Ernie before you go?
Well, what I want to say to him and say to everybody else, there's a great thing that you are doing here, because when you got people sitting back here listening, they are hearing some things that they may have been missing or they've been alone to trying to figure out. So that's why I figure a lot of other people should get on here and ask some questions sometimes, because you don't only help yourself, you help everybody else too. So in the process, that's what you call a team to me, is working together, helping each other out, paying attention. And I'm going to tell you something, we're going to go a long ways by paying attention, listening, and helping each other out. Thank you very much. I really appreciate what you got to say. I always enjoy listening to you. I listen at you every Monday night, too. You might not know it, but I learn a lot myself.
Well, there's no such thing as a stupid question other than that you didn't ask it. If you don't ask the question, there might be 100 other people out there that don't know the answer, but they're afraid to ask. Ask the question. I'll answer it. I don't care if I've answered it 10,000 times before. I'll answer the question. And unlike anybody else, I'm going to answer your question, and then I'm going to tell you why it happens that way and what to expect when you do that. There's a whole lot to the game other than I change the jets. You've got to know why you change the jets, what it affects when you change them, and how it affects the tune-up. It all goes back to, like I say, it's circle, combination. You keep the combination right, I don't care what jet you run, it's going to go fast. So, guys, I'm going to turn it back over to you. Y'all have a good night. And I'm going to spend a little time with my wife.
Big Ernie.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Big Ernie.
Yeah, this Big Eddie, the guy that owned the car called Mudbone, the Willie Dog been ducking. Yeah. I just wanted to ask you a question about that jet thing. I know
he say Willie Dog been ducking.
Yeah. I want to know, why do some of the carburetor people stagger the jets so far apart? You know, they have them staggered, the front jets real small, and then, you know, about a 10 spread to the back. I never did understand that.
Because they do it so you can drive the carburetor on the street. That's the only reason.
I
didn't understand that.
You cannot tag them.
That's what I say. I like a square. I like a square. And they had staggered my jets one time, never told them that we were going to drive the car on the street. And I looked at it and I seen how they were staggered. I put it back in the square and got a total different response.
Yeah,
some people think
you're putting them back in right to drag race with nitrous. You've got to go lower on the jetty. But like I say, if these aftermarket carburetors, if you talk to the guy and they tell you how much more than they're flowing than what they did before, you don't want the carburetor.
Mm-hmm.
Call Summit, call Jegs, order a, you know, it's Holley. They've probably made 100
right.
million carburetors. They know how
That's
to build
right.
that carburetor.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to believe in that, too. I know a guy named Billy Reed used to tell me which carburetor to buy from Holley, straight from Holley, and I always had, you know, jetted the way you wanted, and it was fine.
Absolutely. Anybody that's selling you a carburetor that's been touched on is designed for normal aspiration, carburetors. High RPMs, and yes, they'll work, but on nitrous. And I've called and talked to several of these carburetor manufacturers to get them to come onto the show. And I ask them a few questions. And when I start talking to them about nitrous, and they go, oh, yeah, that's all linear flow stuff, and it does this and it does that. I go, I don't want you on the show because you don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
As the vacuum increases through the carburetor, the flow across the jets gets greater and it produces more fuel. And you got to take care of that in your tune-up.
Okay. Well, I so appreciate it, Ernie. I so had to wonder, why did they do that? I never could understand that. When they say all banks of the motor supposed to be the same, I couldn't understand why would they thin in the front out so fast, so bad, that would be the front two cylinders. And then the back is real fat. I didn't understand that.
Well, you know, over the years you hear people talking about, well, that number one cylinder and the back cylinders on this side and that side, well, they're running rich. This is running lean. This is doing all this other stuff. So I've got to change the jets and those cylinders to get them to run right. Okay, that's telling me your carburetor isn't jetted right because you got the same piston in every hole. You got the same camshaft, the same lifters, the same head.
That's right.
Why do you got a lean cylinder? Only one cylinder is firing at a time, and your carburetor and your nitrous system is feeding nitrous for 8 cylinders continuously. You're not going to have a lean or a rich cylinder if the combination is right.
That's right.
Hey,
okay.
Hey, Ernie.
Appreciate it, Ernie.
Hey, Ernie.
Yes, sir.
With some people intake, if they got a sheet metal intake, would that change the amount of fuel going to certain spark plugs or certain holes? Or does that really make a difference?
No, actually, sheet metal intake is actually designed to give it a straighter flow. The intake runners are fairly long, and it's designed to give you more bottom end. If you look at some earlier, and when I say earlier, I'm talking about 80s and 90s intakes compared to today,
right.
Totally different flow characteristics, humps, sumps, a lot of epoxy.
Sure.
Today, they're pretty straightforward. But no, it's you know, they all flow the same amount of air to the cylinders. That's what you got to have.
Now, those makeshift airflow vent systems they be having on YouTube, where they make them in the back, in the garage, they pretty accurate.
Leave them in the garage if you want to flow your lawnmower, chainsaw. Other than that, leave it alone. It does not matter. If you have a Holley 850, we're not trying to perfect more airflow. We've got to get away from that idea. We're running nitrous. You want to change your tune-up? You change the jets. You want 50 more horsepower? You don't buy a $10,000 set of heads. Change $20 worth of jets in your nitrous system. The motor does not know where the power is coming from. It says, I've got air, I've got fuel, I'm going to make power. And the whole idea is to control it properly. Don't argue with it. Give it what it wants. And it'll run and be happy all day.
So that's the key of knowing what it wants.
Right. It's kind of like a woman. You argue with a woman, you ain't going to win. Whether you're right or not, it doesn't matter.
God, no, Ernie. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head that time.
Correct answer. Correct answer. He just won a prize.
The $1 million question of the year. Oh, boy.
If I can help you, let me know. Don't go out there and beat yourself into the wall with a tune-up. And never take a tune-up from the guy that's beside you at the track. And he's putting pistons in his car. Do you really want to run his tune-up? He's showing you what it'll do. You know, call me. I'll be able to give you a tune-up that you can go have fun with. And you'll get away from those big numbers. We don't run big numbers to make big horsepower. It's not all about horsepower. Everybody wants to talk horsepower. Nobody mentions torque. We talk torque. We don't care about horses.
Look, somebody else at the door. 708-6632. Is that you, John? Or that Cadillac?
Yeah. Hey, everybody doing here? How you doing?
What up, John Dragon? How are you?
I got a question, man. With a two-stage system, a vulgar with a plate system and a plate system. Need two bottles? Mm-hmm.
Do you need to
buy
you're going to go with? If you're not getting in, and also depends on whose bottle you got, the line, and all this other stuff. If you're running, say, a 200, 100, you don't need two bottles. But if you're running 350 and on each side, you're going to be better off because you're going to have balance, nitrous pressure for each system. But remember, if you're running two bottles, number your bottles. If you're out there making a pass and you're running one and two, take them out, you weigh them, find out how much you use that in it, set them in your tool, and then get three and four, and then put them in there. Take them out, weigh them, go to five and six. Because the first pass, the bottom, always going to be the fastest. because the dome is the closest. And the more you use out of that bottle, the more the dome does not react over the liquid nitrous to give you consistent pressure.
Ooh.
That was your mic, Sean. It was a lot of gargle trying to hear Sean and you, Big Eddie. Sean, you must be at work or something.
No, I had the headphones
on.
I just took the headphones off.
Okay. All right.
I had some new headphones on. I just turned them on. I just took them off.
Did y'all hear Ernie and Sean's questions and Ernie's answers?
I couldn't hardly hear it. It was a lot of noise. I was on mute.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go back over again. Let's say we've got two stages of nitrous. We've got one set at 200 and the other set at 300. All right. Would we be better off with one or two bottles? You're going to be better off with two bottles because the first stage is going to use approximately 2 pounds out of the nitrous bottle, and the second stage is going to run 3 pounds out of the nitrous bottle. So by keeping the dome pressure, so we're going to use bottle one and two, we're going to make a pass on them, we're going to weigh them, write it on the bottle, put them back in the rack. We're going to get bottles three and four, weigh them, put them in the car, make a pass, come back, weigh them, put them back in the rack. Five and six, same way. All right, now we run our rack of bottles. Now we're going to go back to one and two, because now all the bottles are consistent all the way across. But since we're running a little system and a big system, on the next pass on the bottles, we're going to put the 1B in the 1A slot because it's got more nitrous left in it, and the first stage is going to stay on longer than the second. So we're going to balance out the bottles. And your car will perform better doing that.
Okay. Just learned something new.
Well, good. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Ernie.
Yes, sir. Back to you, Shake.
Oh. All right. If that's all the questions, we're gonna let Ernie get up out of here. I got one question to ask you, Ernie, and this is gonna probably be a under the table question. Is my car still in the back room?
Yes, sir, it is, and just about ready for you for a ride.
All right.
That's the one that got the tree. That's the one got the tree growing through it, right?
No.
Yep.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Melvin.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to take you for a ride. You know, people are dying to take a ride in that car.
Melvin don't know what you're talking about. Look at it. He's trying to turn up the volume on his phone right about now, Ernie.
But you know, the thing about it, it's easy to pick up women, but they're dead lays. It doesn't matter.
That's the inside joke, Melvin. You don't know. You don't get out. You're in the scene.
That's all right. I know that
nice
tree going
joke
through that car. That's for sure.
He got
but
nothing
you
to do with a tree, though, Ernie.
You know, never. I tell you what I'll do. Anytime that he wants to go, I've got the world's the world's most powerful street gun.
Right. Okay. With that being said, I want to thank you for coming on, Big Ernie. You've been a big help to a lot of people, including me. Like always, I appreciate you, man. I hope everything turn all right with your wife. You're always in my prayers, and we'll get you on here another time, Ernie. Appreciate you.
Well, Jake, don't be a stranger. I do appreciate it. My wife, they sent my wife home tonight, so we'll get her a little bit better and find out what the problem is. But, yeah, she's doing good right now. I do appreciate that. And I appreciate all the prayers everybody's given me for it. It, you know, it helps. And it helps to know that there's people out there that care, because I care.
Before you go, Ernie.
1-800 number.
Before you go, Ernie, we're going to go out with a prayer. I'm going to say a quick prayer for your wife and for you. Father God in heaven, we're asking you to look over Ernie's wife and Ernie. Give them the strength, Lord and God Almighty, that they can pull through this, Lord, because we know you have all the power in everybody's hand to bring through anything through nature and all. Father God in heaven, help us to understand what our life and what we are put here on this earth for. Give us the strength to go through this, Father God. Please help us, Lord, because we ask you to lay hands on Ernie's wife. See to it that everything works out all right for us, Lord, because it's more than what we can handle. We have to go to you for help. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. I appreciate you guys. Love you. Y'all be safe out there.
All right. Talk to you later. Okay. All right. Let me get everybody's mic back open. That was Big Ernie from CompuCon Nitro System, my main man. Oh man, if y'all really understood what Ernie's really doing, he's helping a lot of people. And for those that don't know much about Nitro System, you can easily jump off in it and mess up your car. So if you're gonna use nitrous, I suggest you listen to him. He's really good at what he do when he talk about that nitrous. Like, no ifs, ands, buts about it. That's Big Ernie. All right. What y'all got on y'all mind the rest of the evening?
Well, I just want to leave everybody. Can you hear me, Jake?
Come on, I know. Come on.
Yes, I just want to leave all of us with one other thing. Now, I've been listening at him for a little while, been listening at you for a little while, and everybody else for a little while. Now, me, myself, I will prefer to ask questions but not be giving out none of your car numbers and, you know, a whole bunch of information on your motor and all kinds of different things, because don't forget, we all grudge racing and pulling your own pullers and all that kind of stuff like that, too. So be mindful of what type of information you give out on the type of, you know, stuff that you have in your motor and your transmission and all that. I mean, not unless that's what you want to do, but I wouldn't do it. I just want to lay that out there.
Good report. I know, because this is grudge racing, and you don't want to tell everybody what you got. If they figure out what you got, then they can kind of figure out how to smooth you. So, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, what kind of system you get? It's good to ask questions, you know.
But like
one thing I will never do is discuss anybody's combination over an open line. Yeah. The only thing we will talk about is generalities. If it's other than specifics, then we go offline. You call me and we work one-on-one.
That's right.
We do not discuss anybody's combination with anybody, period.
That's right.
If you said you can talk to them, no, we're not going to talk about your combination. We'll discuss his problem.
That's right.
So I'm back on mute.
Okay. Yeah. We don't give out nobody's combination. We don't even promote street racing. Oh, wait, we got to get rid of this noise. Got it. Man, I know your mic sound like crickets when you come on. But thank you for that information, Unknown, Big Ernie. But, yeah, we don't give out nobody's information on this show. You know, the first thing they're going to be doing is telling, y'all been telling my combination. Well, we don't do that here.
But if you got any problems with your car, Ernie gave out his number. You can call Ernie direct and talk it over one-on-one on the phone, and that way don't nobody know what you got. And get yourself some help, call the doctor. That's Big Ernie.
That's right.
Shake, I ain't tell nobody you had no 5-3, man.
Oh, Melvin, Melvin, don't put that out on the show. Boy, when I see you, I'm pulling that ponytail to it before Willie Dawg. All right. And where's Sean at? Sean had jumped off the line. Sean, y'all got a big drag, got a race coming up, don't they?
Yeah. Right now I got background. Give me like 2 minutes. 2 minutes, I'll be out of here. 2 minutes.
All right.
But I can hear what you're saying. It's just a lot of background noise.
Okay. Well, we'll wait on you. There's Melvin. Young Money got a race coming up in August. I think it's what date is that?
6th and the 7th. First weekend, second weekend in August, I think it is. Well, first weekend of
okay.
August is going to start this weekend coming up. Yeah, then the following week. So we got 2 weeks out.
Well, I'm not going to ask you if you're going. Brother Corey, are you going?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Okay. All right. 6th and the 7th. And then we got Big Drag Race coming up the end of July. Sean going to come on and give us a report on that.
And at the
MRO. Yeah, Melvin, Big Sherman Baker, the one with that green truck, he was in North Carolina.
Yeah, I saw him down
North
there.
Carolina.
Yeah.
Oh, and guess what?
That was a rough race down there, too.
Check this out. Check this out. It was 117 cars in that race. And He made it to the final eight.
Yep. He probably spun the tire going down through there.
Good God Almighty. Big
Bill Lux was down there with that Camaro.
Sherman Baker. He a bad man.
Yep.
That truck used to be a nicer truck a long time ago.
Yeah.
I remember that truck being a nitrous truck.
Hey, Phil.
Yep.
He was on the show last week.
Yeah, I heard it. I was looking for the voice. I'm like, I forgot my man's name.
Yeah, you got your Bluetooth on because it's coming out echoish.
I'm on speakerphone. Hold on. Yep.
The speaker making it echo.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I heard him. I'm like, wait a minute, I know that voice somewhere. I forgot his name, though, you know. But I've been following him for a while. That truck is a bad truck. He just changed it over to turbo, about a year ago?
I don't know, but I got a chance to see it out there at Onondaga twice. And he went to North Carolina this weekend. Matter of fact, they're on their way back now if they ain't made it back already. But, yeah, he told me out of 117 cars, shoot, he was putting them on the trailer, bro. He was putting them on the trailer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that truck, like I said, that truck is no slouch, especially when they put the turbos on there. It's a ride. Ride's damn good.
Mm-hmm.
I think he lives at somewhere in Ohio.
Eaton, Ohio.
Yeah.
Eaton, Ohio.
I said I was
right off.
He was I was gonna go out there because he had like a open house. He had got a new garage out there. He was showing off the cars and everything. But what I seen on the internet, I'm like, wow, it's a huge garage.
Well, when it's huge like that, they call it a pole barn, you know, pole barn.
Yeah. Back, Jake.
All right, Sean.
What's going on, man? Everybody good tonight?
Yeah, we pretty much winding down. We just going over the events coming up. We got a Randy's event coming up in August 6th, 7th, and you got Big Drag Race coming up. They need to know the info.
Oh, yeah, that's next week, man. Next Friday, no, I'm sorry, next Saturday and Sunday. US 41 Drag
Race. Saturday and Sunday.
It's a whole lot going on, man. A whole lot going on. A lot of surprises, some things Drag know about, some things he don't know about. Man, we got a daily drive shootout, which is one of the biggest so far that we've been to. We got a daily driver shootout, the small tire shootout. Then we got a group of guys that asked us to put together a all-steel mural glass, 29-inch tire and smaller, no Ws, no wheelie bars, no parachutes, one carburetor, and a full interior. Must be stock, factory, I'm sorry, stock suspension, stock front suspension, stock location as far as the rear. It's a $500 buy-in, winner take all, and so far I think it's 8 of these, and we're looking for more. Then we got the big shootout, and that's exactly what it is. Any power adder you want. If you got small tires, you think you can run with the big tires, go right on ahead, man. It's not a problem. And then we also got, you know, we started doing this golf cart shootout about 3 years ago, and it's getting bigger and bigger. But we got the golf cart shootout. That's a $25 buy-in, winner take all. And, man, we're going to do these on both days, on Saturday and Sunday. The spectator's fees is $25. Car and driver, $50. If you buy both days, you know, we knock off $5 if you get the weekend pass. Same thing for the spectators. If you're gonna buy the weekend pass, it's $45. And we got awards. You know, we got for each one of these shootouts that we got that goes along with it. For each one, man, we got a lot of things for the kids. And, you know, I've been on the phone, man, for the past couple of weeks about a lot of ladies saying that, you know, yeah, they like to come watch racing, but they also would like to have things for them, too. So guess what? The wife will have her store at the track. So she's going to have her some of the things out the store at the track. And we also got some a lot of car stuff, you know, car wash stuff, you know, buckets, you know, stuff to wash your cars with. A lot of oil
wife is going to have her stores, all her products set up at the track?
Well, she's going to have some of them. She's not going to, man, we can't bring the whole store, but we definitely will have a lot of the stuff there. Plus, we got quite a few vendors, man, that's going to be there selling food. We got one lady there that's going to be there, man, and she's selling these jerk chicken, some greens. I think she said mama beans.
Already there.
She told me what it was. I got it wrote down, man. But unfortunately, I'm in the truck on my way back to the house now. So, then that's on Saturday and Sunday. But Sunday, you know, we give away free food, free non-alcohol beverages all day long. Eat as much as you want. We know it's gonna be hot, so we got plenty of water. Getting ready. And, you know, for some of the people that drink diet sodas, we also got them too.
Hey, Sean, don't say free food too loud. I'll be in competition with Big Ernie. I want to take over that spot.
But you don't see food on Sunday. You know, that's on Sunday. But on Saturday, man, we it's a lot going on, Shaq, I promise you. So we're telling everybody, man, bring the kids, bring the wife, the girlfriend, bring both of them if you want. We're going to have a good time, man. We're going to have a real good time. Going to be some new cars. Well, they're not really new cars. Some cars, some people didn't know that, you know, that existed or that some people had. And then we got some cars that's that ain't been out in a while that people thought, you know, we might have got rid of. It's a whole lot, man. It's a whole lot going on, man. A lot of surprises are going to be going on. So you're going to see some folks that's drawing down on some people that folks just wouldn't understand.
Well, I didn't think he would even draw on this person.
Or we got a couple females that's in the shootout, one big tire shootout, one daily driver shootout. And but then it also has one of the young ladies, her and her husband, they both race. Both of them got Mustangs. One of them a daily driver and one of them a small tire. She will jump in both. And they won a grudge race and they're in the shootout. And they also said any guys that get beat by any one of them ladies, both ladies have signs that they wanted, that they have said, I've been beaten by a woman, and they want to take a picture with you. That's going to be part of the deal. So any man to get beat by them ladies, you got to take a picture with them.
If not losing by a female, then you got to take a picture. Oh, man, that's double trouble.
She sure know
how to push that dagger in you.
Hey, wait a minute. But we had one of the ladies in the daily driver shootout. They were talking about little Tony. She said, "What's a little Tony?" I said, "Everybody's like, oh no, no, you can't.
What's
you
a
ain't
little
gonna let
Tony?
You." Yeah, she said, "What's a little Tony?" It's like, oh no, no, baby, you. So, I told him he will race. That is, you know, I said if it's something that he feel, you know, that it's gonna be a good race. I say with the Tony, it doesn't have to be that, you know, he think, you know, he can out horsepower you. As long as it can be a good race, he's gonna try it.
Uh-huh.
So, and then we got them Lock and Loaded boys. So far, it's been Lil Tony and Lock and Loaded that's been winning. That's been winning the daily driver shootout. And, man, we got a few guys coming in from Georgia. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, Shake. We got quite a few people that's going to be in from Florida.
What?
I already talked to them a couple times. Yeah, so got quite a few guys that's going to be in from Florida. Some guys coming in from Georgia. And we got two people coming in from South Carolina. I don't know if, you know, how many, but these are the ones that I'm telling you that I've talked to. So,
okay.
It's going to be, I posted up, it's going to be an epic event, man. It's definitely going to be an epic event. Days, and everybody that's been asking me, is it prep? It's going to be a prep track. So, Mass Traction came in and retrained 41 staff on prepping the track. So it should be pretty good, man. We got one of the Mudbones that might be getting in the shootout.
Big Mudbone or little Mudbone?
I don't know which is big and which is small, but it don't matter. As long as Mudbone getting in there, that's all I'll care about.
He's getting kicked off now. Oh, Mudbone, one or two.
They got the street all bumped.
John, did y'all have a bunch of rain over there yesterday?
Yep. Man. It really come down so hard, man. It was just crazy. It was just real, real crazy, man. That rain came down hard.
We
the streets dried up, it got nice and warm, and then it rained again. About 30 minutes after it cleared up and everything, it rained again. Then after that,
it
got hot.
and we partied.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was my sister's birthday and memorial we did yesterday. So we taking a party. Say, trust me when I tell you, man. My family, you know, my family likes to have a good time, man. So they taking a show on the road. So we gonna party at the track. It's definitely gonna be a party at the track.
I see.
So, man, we telling everybody, man, the gates open up at 9 o'clock in the morning. We got to start from 9 in the morning Saturday till 10 p.m. And then on Sunday, we got to track from 9 a.m. till 7. It could go to 8. We'll see how the weather reacts. And it's supposed to be really hot, man. Also, man, we got Pop and Do in the house. So they're going to have that awesome shaved ice. Popcorn and them tacos, and it's a lot, man. It's a whole lot. So, Shake, you gotta be. You're coming both days, ain't you?
Yeah, I'm gonna come both days this time, Sean.
Okay. Definitely, you're gonna have to be there both days, man. We don't want you to miss nothing.
Well, you got kid on the grill again, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this way, man. When I go live, I gotta mention Kid's name. Oh.
Yeah.
Kid is,
no doubt. I gotta be there.
Hey, I'm telling you, man, it's gonna be some surprises like we always do. You know. I don't want you to miss the surprises. Uh-oh. Ooh. Hang on it. He's trying to walk in his house and these speakers and got you on speaker at the same time. Ah.
So I take it, sis ain't gonna let me have my dog back, huh?
Man, she actually under the guy sitting right here. As I'm walking in the gate, sitting right here.
You know I want that dog.
Yeah, she ain't been let it go. If you came and got him right then?
I was talking about coming to get that dog. But she didn't. She had second thoughts about it then. She didn't want to get rid of it.
Right.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to come over there and leave the front door open. When that joke will terrorize the whole neighborhood, she'll want to get rid of him then.
Hey, that's the problem we got now. Y'all already terrorizing the neighborhood.
Y'all gonna own the house next door and the next door and the next door. Y'all gonna have a whole block in a minute.
You're probably right, Shay. Yeah, she didn't already terrorize the neighborhood, man. Oh, you put that there. I block. I'm sorry. Oh, I moved it. My bad. Hey, Shake, we about to eat these pizzas.
Yeah.
I'm going to see you next
week.
Don't
say nothing about no food. Don't say nothing about no food on this, man. You know I'm 4 hours away.
But trust me, man, it's loud down here. We're going to – I'm going to see everybody next week, man. So – you come, you going to get there early?
Yeah, I'll be there Saturday early. I'll probably get there about 11 o'clock.
Okay.
Noon. So I'm going to stay both days. All right.
But don't forget to call me.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to talk to you anyway by Thursday or Friday anyway.
Oh, shoot.
What up, you good?
Don't nobody. Yeah, I'm good. The doggone plug fell out the computer. Ooh. All right. So y'all got something y'all want to say, add to the show, something to carry on?
Y'all can go right ahead. Hey, Melvin, you want to go to Chicago this weekend?
No, I ain't going to make it, man.
Come on, man. Put your running shoes on. Let's shoot on out there.
Sound good, man, but I ain't going to be able to make it.
Oh, that's right. Sis still, the surgery still bothering her?
Yeah.
Yep. I know you got a stick put in. I forgot about that.
I'll be back out there one of these days.
With all the information Ernie gave, shoot, you should be able to go there and do another tune on that car, man, and be able to go get let's see who you want next, Melvin. You want Greg or you want Doc James?
We were doing Street King next.
Street King first?
Yeah, we're going to do Street King.
Okay. Now that won't be until September.
Yeah, I should have everything wrapped up by then.
Okay. Well, you know, September coming, we're getting close to that shutdown time here for the Midwest. You planning on doing Holly Springs this year? You gonna do which race?
It's up in the area. That could be a possibility. You know, could cruise it, Mississippi.
Might as well, man.
Yeah, nice, right?
Might as well. Might as well. Brother Kid, you missed out, man. We had Big Ernie on the show. All right, man. I'm trying to wait on this doggone computer to load back up, but I guess we can swing our way on up out of here. Goddamn, Ernie gave a whole lot of tech tips tonight, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. You got to listen to him, man. You just got to pay him attention. He'll get you where you want to go.
Hey, you know who I call?
And that
I call your boy.
I was going to say, you heard him when he was phasing that distributor in, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's really important.
Boy,
that's real important stuff there.
I was calling your boy Mark, Firebird Mark. You know, he don't know a doggone thing about nitrous, but him and Amos both need to listen to that tip. Okay.
They need a whole lot of sessions.
Computer just came back up.
Yeah, that phasing of that distributor is so important, though, is to understand that when you push that button and that timing retard, it moves away from that prong inside that distributor cap.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of guys think if you just hook up the nitrous and just set the timing back a little bit, they feel like it's all, I'm all set, I'm ready to go. But they got another thing coming.
No. If you do that, you can get away with it like that. You know, just like you just said, you know, get the motor running real good, and you can go there and retire the timing and take out the timing that you want your motor still run, you probably have a safer tune-up, because now when you push the button, the timing ain't going to come out of the box. You already got it initially set there. It's when the timing comes out of that box and it moves 10 degrees and it moves 10 degrees off of that prong. And then if you ain't really paying it no attention, just think if you're already 7 or 8 degrees off of it and you ain't looking in there to see where you're exactly at. So if you 5 or 6 degrees already off, then you take another 10 out, you're almost firing on the next cylinder. That's where you get all those backfires and stuff like that to come from.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But that guy good, though, man. He's somebody to listen to. If you're dealing with nitrous and you want to understand it, just keep listening to him.
Oh man, hey. we were just about to get off the show, and I gotta play this guy's theme song. He just shot up in here at the last minute when Big Ernie gone. Jump in the Cadillac, girl. That's the man, jumped in the Cadillac. What's going on, bro? Well, that Cadillac must be slow. He ain't coming off mute.
Hey, so when y'all talking about...
Hello?
Yeah, what's happening? How y'all doing?
You didn't hear your thing about Cadillac?
Yeah, I heard it.
Why are you so slow?
I want to know one thing, man. How everybody feeling out there? Tell them,
hey,
Lord,
I'm
thank
feeling
you.
With both
you
hands.
Hear my
thanks.
Voice. Tell them thank you.
Yeah,
I'm feeling with both hands, man.
Huh? I can't hear you.
Yeah,
hello?
We're good. We good, Cat. We good, Catline. We good, Catline.
Oh, okay. Everybody all good out there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What up, Black?
What up? I'm just
you
in the neighborhood,
man.
I said let me holler at everybody for a minute.
Yeah, you miss your boy Ernie. Big Ernie just got off, Catline.
Yeah, I was trying to catch him. I was at a show, and, man, everybody was coming. Woo, you know how that go. I said, man, let me get to the shake, to the bake, man. Just stick my head in for a moment.
Yep, Big Ernie
everybody,
came on
God
with
bless
that
everybody.
Tech.
Oh, yeah, the Big Ernie always put it down. Hey, Melvin know about that. What's up, Melvin?
You got it, Cadillac. How you doing over there, man?
I'm terrific, man. I'm terrific. I'm just hollering
at
everybody.
How the midgets doing?
Holler at everybody out there, man. That's all.
How the midgets doing?
Oh, man, the midgets terrific, man. I had them out there last night. I brought them home this morning.
Right,
they did a good job. They ready to terrorize something, ready to get a hold of something.
Okay, that's good. They in good shape then. No, you don't take care
doing
of them.
Push-ups. They doing push-ups, baby.
Alrighty. That's good. That's what I want to hear.
That's all, man. So I was just saying hello to everybody. That's it, man.
Okay.
My main
all right,
man.
Good
my main man, Shake and Bake.
Well, no doubt, brother. You my dog. Hey, Phil, you had something you were trying to say?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I think I understand it now. So basically, when he's talking about phasing in the distributor, you take that timing light and you put it into the hole of the distributor, and when you hit that button, you should see the timing light jump from a few degrees forward or backwards, depending on the MSD or how you got the MSD box set up, right?
Yeah, go ahead. Pretty much. Yep.
Okay, that's what I was trying to figure out. I'm like, well, how exactly is this work? Because I didn't know if he was talking about for like a, what you call it? A crank trigger setup or whatever. But he didn't say nothing about crank trigger. But I can kind of understand now because I know Mr. Clean used to do that also. He used to drill a hole into the distributor cap to watch where number one he is on the rotor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now I understand what's going on now. Okay. Had to think about it for a second.
All right. Yeah, but it's real important, though, you know.
Right.
Especially
right,
when you're pulling that kind of timing out. You can imagine pulling, you know, 10, 15 degrees out.
Right.
How close it can move over to the next prong. That's the main important part right there when it's moving around in there. It don't get close to the next cylinder. Because if it does, that next cylinder is what's going to pick up your spark. And if it picks up the spark from the next cylinder, then you got all kind of problems going on because now you're creating a misfire.
Yeah, down goes Frazier, basically.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right, I'm back.
I got it now.
Oh, you got it now, Phil?
Yeah, I had to think about it for a second. I didn't, like I was telling Melvin, I didn't know if he was talking about for a crank trigger setup or for anything for that nature, but I had to understand you got to look at what the timing light is doing when you hit the retard button or when you hit the button for the MSD to take the timing out for the nitrous. What the time of my decision.
Where is that then? Because when you turn that nitrous on and you retard it, you want all of that voltage coming from there going into that cylinder. So the farther you move it away from the prong, the less voltage you got going through to it.
I got it now.
If you can hear a lot of cars if you really pay them attention when they tune and they just sitting there running. That number one, just say if it's firing on 30 degrees or whatever, that is actually away from that prong at that time. So it's not actually getting all of the spark that it wants because of the fact that we got it moved away from it. We're waiting to turn the nitrous on. When we turn the nitrous on, then it's going to come directly to the prong. And when it comes directly to the prong, then you're getting all of the fire that's going down there. So they can sound real nasty and sound like something wrong with it while it's sitting there idling. That's because I'm away from the prong right now. And when I hit the button, it's going to come directly to it. Yep.
That's a whole different ball game here. You're talking about nitrous.
Oh, yeah. But once you get to understand it, you don't got no problems with it after that.
Right.
Just gotta learn how to understand what it's doing, what it's wanting. Give it everything that it wants.
Back on.
Hey, you heard him talking about those spark plugs. I told him spark plugs is. I hear guys talking about they're going to use the 11 spark plug, and there's no need for us to use 11 spark plugs. 9s and 10s is all you need.
Mhm. Wow. And like they say, no spark plug is pre-gapped from the factory.
No, you got to gap it to put it spark where you plug. Wanted that. Hey, you just pull out the box. You got a gap, stick it in. It's got a gap, stick it. Mm-hmm. We're looking for one that's closed all the way up. We ain't checking the gap. We just looking at it, stick it in. This gap.
That's right. Yes.
You know, that's the one that fell
crazy.
Off the shelf. And there was a whole box of them fell off the shelf.
Then another thing, you see that he checks the voltage on each one of his spark plugs to make sure that it's at zero.
The resistance
is on zero, right, because you could drop it and you don't know that you just messed it up because it didn't look like it cracked or anything like that, but the resistance now going through it.
But that's crazy. It's just the smallest thing that you really don't pay that much attention to get, hey, you lose some horsepower.
Upstairs, you know, you at 7,000 RPMs and you wondering how come, wait, we've got something going on here. I know I got new spark plugs, this, that, and everything else. But we didn't check all of that other stuff. But, hey, one of them plugs could just be bad, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to change the subject just for a second, though. I was listening to Sean Drag Racing News and everything, and when he said it's supposed to be a race coming up, I forgot somewhere, when he's like, no wheelie bars, no parachute, no this, no that. I'm like, damn, that's everything to keep the guy safe. Shit.
Right. Yeah, well, that's called Dale Devil Racing.
No, if you can't stop, we got you on the other end.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, I ain't going that. People racing stock cars with turbo, twin turbos and shit, 1,500 horses and everything.
1,500
no
horses,
rotation.
Right, on a stock tire. No roll cage.
And then you wonder why this car is going around the pole.
Trouble.
Lux was at that race they had in South Carolina down there, South Carolina this weekend, right?
North Carolina.
He was in there with that blower on it. Somebody said, man, that car run 3 seconds. My man said, yeah, it'll run 3 seconds. But it ain't going to run 3 seconds on this asphalt that we on right here. they showed up was on some no-prep stuff down there, buddy.
Yeah.
You probably didn't need nothing no faster than a good, consistent car that'll run like 10 olds at that race that they had going on down there. One of them boys came from the X275 class, right? And he had just won the X275 class. He went out the first round.
Hey, that's just like at that Motor City showdown that we had years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody out there, look, I was pitched with Doc. I'm looking at everybody, couldn't nobody get down the track. I said, Doc, you see this? He said, yes, sir. I ain't using the trans brake, and I ain't going to spray this. I said, as long as we on the same page.
Yep.
He was putting 6, 7, 8 second cars on the trailer, slaying the motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. Because they can't get out. You ain't going nowhere.
Couldn't get down that motherfucker for shit. I said, this is true street racing here. I mean, they were putting shit to them, too. They're trying to take out power and this, and that. I'm like, man. Ooh, that shit was crazy. But that, like you say, that's true street racing. If you can't get down there,
street racing.
Well,
you can't get down there.
Hit.
So that's what they want. They want a surface you can't get out. Right.
Mm-hmm. It makes it more competitive, and then the guy with the least amount of money in his car can compete.
Got a chance to win.
Right.
And that was a $100,000 race last night too. It's paying $100,000 for the winner.
That's why I was talking to Jasper. I was like, how heavy is it or how serious is it when you have to go from a no prep to a drag strip or a prep drag strip? He's like, shit, you got to change the whole combination, Mo. You got to put everything that you took out back home.
Power management. There's some more electronics you got to hook up. Yep. Constantly pulling that timing out of that motor. More timing you can pull out of it, the deader the motor going to be, you know.
And that's where them damn notes come in at, boy, because you got to figure out, okay, I took this, I disconnected this, I raised this up. I took all this off just to go down the, just to go down I-75.
Right, to Davidson. Put it back on before you get to 6 miles.
Right.
Hey, but that's what we are at today in racing, man. There's so many different phases of it, you know. Got a whole lot of different phases.
Yes, sir.
Got to go there with 3,000 horsepower. The track like that, where they was at last night, he there with 3,000 horsepower. He could have left. He could have left 2,000 horsepower at home.
Right. That's all I was about to say, Steve. You got the car that's doing 3,000 horsepower, and you ain't putting it all there. You probably putting, what, maybe 1,000?
Right.
Back
you feathering
all
it.
The way up.
Yep.
And you ain't leaving at max RPM either. You leaving about 3,000 RPM. Just so you don't spin the tires over.
So you don't spin. Man, they spin the tires out there. They got 1,000 feet down through there, man. They spin the tires on. Mm-hmm. They going through the traps, spinning the tires.
Going through the traps like in the 60s and shit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well,
they had some recaps
like
on the back of it or something.
It's like this. This is where driving come in at. That's how I look at it. If you're a driver, it ain't always the fastest car don't always win. It's the person
that's
that
right.
know how to drive a fast car to make it run. That's what I like. That's old school. That's old school there. Because when we used to race on the street, a lot of those guys used to come from the track, and they try to get down them streets that wasn't prepped. Hey, you had to know how to lead there. You had to know how to drive the car. You had to be off and off the gas, on and off the gas. That's what I like, the old street racing. But now these cars are so fast, you got to know how to detone them and make them get down the track.
Yep.
Everybody don't know how to do that. That's what I like.
That's true.
Well, it's definitely going to change.
It came a long way from carburetors and distributors. Now we got computers, throttle position sensors, and O2 sensors, and carrying on. And everybody got to work together.
Yeah. You got to know how to synchronize all that. But then the killer, what they finna come with, these cars running on batteries. That's flying.
Right.
Now that's going to be something else, boy.
They already got, what is that? It was on
that electric Mustang.
Was it a Mustang?
Yeah,
electric Mustang. Just about running to 7 seconds or something.
Yes, sir.
Man, that's
yes, sir.
You couldn't hear nothing. Just wee.
Nothing. Just going.
It says, it didn't say wee. It said, that's all it said. That's and you know, you so used to hearing the motor, you can tell if it's tuned here, if it's off there. But with that, man, that joke is you relying on battery power. The torque that it gives, that's what's so amazing, man.
You're running off a lithium ion battery and a hell of an electric motor to get you down the track.
Yes, sir.
Man.
That's something else, ain't it?
Oh, man, that's something else. Hell, when it really started changing.
Hey,
when
you
they
come
had
straight
the
off
first...
the trailer. You come straight off the trailer. Straight off the trailer, man. Come on.
Straight off the damn trailer.
That's when the battery is the hottest.
I'm already set. All I got to do is press the gas pedal.
Wait a minute. Don't mess around. Get up there and you done locked in and you got a dead battery. You in trouble.
Yeah.
Man, that'd be something else, bro. That'd be something else.
I need a 5-minute boost, real quick.
I need a boost.
I need a boost, yeah.
Call the car. Hey, let me use your outlet.
Let me use it for 15 minutes. Man, get a supercharger and charge this joker back up. Yeah, that's not. I don't know if
Tesla
I can do one of them.
Tesla got a little got something coming out, a new car coming out that's it's about 1,000 horses. And they had it on, what's that, that racing channel. That's what it's called on YouTube. And he was running up against a little RC car. And he was giving RC car hell.
Yeah. And times are changing, fellas. They change.
The only thing I can
say, I'm gonna stick with the old long as I can. I like hearing that noise and smelling that gas.
Yes,
okay.
Mm-hmm. Problem with the new batteries and all that stuff is if you really have to know what the hell you're doing, because oops,
yes,
it's really not going to count. It's going to get your ass fried.
you be in the pan now.
Mm-hmm. They be trying to figure out why you doing why you jitting and everything and cutting the music on. And you up there sizzling like a pork chop.
You in the frying pan, baby.
Got a little water on the grid.
Yeah, that's the only thing that scares me. Yeah, because, I mean, which they already say, when you doing anything to that battery, you have to make sure everything's cut off.
Yeah.
Hell, even when I'm working on these damn buses where I work at, I'm working with these doggone buses, they have two different systems. They got a 12-volt system, and they got a 24-volt system. And you got to know which one you're working with.
Hey, so mess around and didn't have enough sleep. And you ain't got much energy, and you mess around, be half sleeping, and touch something wrong. Woo!
Man. I actually had somebody do that one time. They called him Sparky. He went out. You got two different batteries. It's two different batteries for two different systems. The top batteries, the batteries on the top shelf, is the 12 volt. The batteries on the bottom shelf is for the 24 volt, and it's numbered and labeled. And he was taking a looser battery, and he messed around while he was taking the battery off. It was a ratchet, and that ratchet touched the other post, and all of a sudden it said bap. And he looking like laughing and shit. He's like, man, what you laughing for? Shit, cut the damn battery. So he called him Sparky because when it touched, it immediately started turning red. I was like, oh, shit. Yes, you got to be careful with the electronics. These cars now they got electronic traction control and everything. That's what I want to understand. How does traction control work with it leaving? Does it work with the engine, or does it work with the transmission, or does it work with the rear end?
Believe it or not, it's in my Corvette, my Z06, is in the temperature of the tire.
What?
If that tire is not hot enough, when you accelerate it and that tire go to spinning, it'll send a signal to pull the timing out of the motor. It comes from the tires.
Wow. That's crazy. Wow. Yep.
That's technology.
You ain't lying.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, you got that. I'm about to say you got that new setup too. The one with that mid engine boy. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's cool. Still ain't fast as the old one, but it's cool.
Okay, okay. Damn, that's crazy right there. Huh.
Yeah, it needs some more power in it.
Hey, well, you know, talk to old Ernie, and
oh yeah, you put a bag in the trunk. When you got to put it in the trunk, you put it in the front trunk.
Right. Hey, what's that over there? That's my bowling bag. Don't worry about it.
Right. My dirty clothes.
Man. Wow, good technology.
Works,
wow. That's what's up.
Yeah. The way of the future.
Yeah, yeah. I might have to take me another course. Going
yeah,
back
a long
to
way from
WCC.
Getting out in the front of the car with a crank and turning the motor over to make it start up to where we are today.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine how many people got their arm broke starting the car up with the handprint? They ain't had
exactly
the timing right. That motherfucker kicked back. Yeah, you turning in one way, they kick back the other way. Shit. Well, somebody got to come up with a starter here or something.
I heard of that. Cause it's,
yeah,
when that sucker kick, and like you say, when it kick back and break
yeah,
your
backfire,
arm,
yeah,
wee.
Break your arm. You going one way and that motor kicked back the other way. Probably didn't have a 15 horsepower if it had that much, but still, that just kick you back, man.
Mm-hmm. That's gotta.
I guess after Henry Ford made that, he went out there and it probably knocked him down a couple times. I bet the next couple of weeks, oh, man, we're going to make us a starter to go on here, dude.
Right. We're going to make us something. This is bullshit.
We're going to make a starter or something because this ain't getting it.
Hey, whatever. Hey,
could you see the research and development on
starting
that? I'm going to build me a new
right
starter tomorrow.
Hey, something wrong with this damn thing. It ain't starting in my damn arm. I feel like Popeye had the damn arm.
Right.
Turn this motherfucker for about 15 minutes.
Right. Yeah. Came a long way.
Say, don't ask me to shake your hand, man, because it ain't going to happen.
And hey, they try to get rid of the combustion engine. They ain't going to get rid of it, but they want to phase it.
I wonder what's happening. I ain't trying to get into politics or nothing like that, which I'm not really getting into politics at all, but I remember they said they had shut down, what's that, the pipeline or something?
Yeah, that one that they was building coming from Canada going down to all the way through the whole United States down there, wherever it was going to, down to Texas,
yeah,
I think it
but
was.
Yeah, they said something about, I was hearing something about they said that somebody had hacked into the system or something like that.
Oh, yeah, they did that a while back, but maybe about a month ago, shut the whole pipeline
yeah
down. Those pirates, they was able to go in there and shut it down, and they had to pay a lot of money to get it started back up.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's what I was wondering. I wonder
hackers
if they getting it back on, getting it back online or not.
It's dead. They got it back on. It stayed off about a week, but them boys, they paid that money to get it turned back on in a hurry.
Oh, yeah.
And they paying they don't pay in cash. They paying that Bitcoin shit, that new currency or whatever it is. That's what they had to pay the ransom in Bitcoins, so they couldn't trace it.
Whoa. Damn. We
yep
don't want this shit. We want that shit you can see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm. That's crazy. Well, like you said, at least it's back home. Hopefully we see some kind of difference.
Well, that ain't going to happen this time soon, though. Where that's, a lot of that's politics. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna just be paying.
Yeah.
Unless the Saudis or something.
Yeah.
Unless the Saudis or something show back up and be happy with everybody and get a shit away like they was doing before.
Right. But then they came out with this other stuff. What's it called? Hydrogen powered.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand how that worked. I'm thinking that it was, I know it was working off of like water, but I didn't understand the whole thing. That they still sell it, because you can.
They got a bunch of them vehicles out there that run that.
Yeah.
Hey, Phil.
I never got into it, how it worked. I know it compresses.
If you go to a YouTube channel, H2O, which is water, one part hydrogen, two part oxygen, when they put electrical charge in water, it separates itself. The hydrogen comes up. And then that gas, hydrogen, is flammable. And you can run a car off of just the hydrogen. Yeah.
Wow. It does the same thing. So it's compressing and you fire it, and it does the same thing then, just like gas do. You just burn it,
exactly.
The different chemical you burn it.
Exactly. Yeah,
oh,
they showed a video
so
on there where they took a...
So what I'm going to say, so basically
charge.
It runs like, it burns like propane, right?
Like propane.
Kind of.
Exactly, like propane, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Compress it and fire.
That's why. Now, you remember when they first came out with electric cars called the Volt, and they had it at
yeah.
the auto show downtown? This was years and years ago. When I went down there to see the Volt, I was curious. I want to go check out, look at this Volt, what it's all about. It's supposed to have a battery and all this. Well, hell, over in the corner, way over in the corner, where ain't nobody even hardly looking at, was the Japanese people, and they had cars running off water.
Mm.
Way back then. But they wasn't giving them no whole lot of attention. The Volt had a whole section by itself. And it basically looked like a Corsica at that time. But that engine is running off of that hydrogen. It was the way to go. And you can actually make it yourself and run your own car off of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard to do.
Well, I know the... On the propane buses, I had to change the spark plugs in them suckers. And, hell, the gap in that is almost, it's between 45 to 50,000.
65,000, yeah. Now, you remember that high-low I used to have? That's
yeah.
ran off of propane. That was
right.
propane. And... The carburetor on it was kind of like real basic. All it did was let the vapors run up through the intake into the cylinder. And that's why in a plant, they like to have propane instead of gasoline. The gasoline, the fumes give off so bad, the carbon monoxide poisoning and mess up a lot of people. But
yep.
the propane runs a lot cleaner. A whole lot cleaner. So they got a toss-up between electric high-lows and the propane. And right now it looks like the propane is winning.
Now, the only thing about the propane, once that sucker starts having problems with the carburetor or whatever, that sucker just starts throwing out some nasty emissions also. Start stinking, and I mean, you got to cut that sucker off. You can't have it island.
Right. And it's so easy to fix because you don't have much stuff on it. Carburetor, change the plug and the wire,
tune up on that is so easy, so basic.
Mm. Yeah.
It ain't like a car where you got the core pack and then you got the plug wires and stuff like that also. Then you got on a car, you got electronic ignition system and all that. But on that propane, they'll ship out and get another carburetor, slap it on there, and that handles most of your problems.
Yeah, because the propane buses that we got, I'm suckers, they don't last. They last up to 150,000 miles, and then we got to change the motor in them. That's when they start going out. We don't go in them or nothing. We just take the motor out. We call Ford. They get us another motor. We send them the core back. And like when I pull those spark plugs out, I mean, them sparks. And that's another thing. Propane burns hotter than gasoline. Because it's like the propane that's going in, it's burning so hot that, you know, it's basically damn near melting the spark plugs. I pulled the spark plugs out of there, shit, they damn near didn't have a prong on it. And it went from 55,000 all the way up to 60,000 gapping. I'm like,
oh, now you see the difference in the propane versus gasoline. Gasoline is a fossil fuel. It has more resistance and more carbon. When you put the propane in there, there's less resistance. Therefore, it burns hotter and cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen a car up close, a race car that runs off of alcohol? It does basically the same thing.
Right.
Hotter.
Hey, eyes watering and shit.
Thank you, hell.
But like you say, because they don't have a fuel, I mean, they don't have a cooling system on it. So the cooling system is the fuel because the fuel is cool. So they run the fuel through the cooling system.
On a race car? On a race car?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's got a radiator on, but it's real small. Real small.
Oh.
Actually, the radiator looks like a little bitty heater core, a little bit bigger heater core than a regular size radiator.
The time is 11:18 p.m.
That's crazy. I know some of them that I'm like, where's the damn radiator? Ain't no radiator on there. Shoot, this damn, the fuel is cooling us down, and we ain't running it far. Like, okay. Usually they push up your line anyway. Yeah, new technology. Gotta get with the times to get on. So I say an auto mechanic will never stop learning. As long as he want to be in business.
Can't stop.
That's the truth.
Can't keep up. He's going to be out of business.
That's right.
We'll send him over to Shake, though. Shake will always have it. Shake ain't, you know, he's going to always be in the 30s.
I ain't going nowhere.
I just learned
an electric car to run you out.
So what?
I said an electric car going to run you out of business.
Hell no, you know, it's gonna always be somebody poking behind you. I can't afford an electric car. I got this old Datsun 210.
No, they already got the Honda.
Bay one. Bay one. The Honda going bay two. And the Chevette stay outside.
Oh, you got to leave the Vega outside, man. You can't leave the Chevette outside the Vega.
No, don't say that. You're going to mess around and get Teo on here in a minute.
That's what I said. Look at the damn big outside.
Mm-mm.
I'm going over to Ernie's shop tomorrow. Cut some of that wood out your car so you can get it out the shop.
Some of that tree.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
which
Shay.
One you talking about? Which car you talking about, man? Yeah, Chris.
You know, I ain't got but one car that's going to true through it in the whole race game.
Right. Which one is it?
I ain't going to tell you. You don't know. I ain't going to tell you. Really? Are you trying to make me start?
Keep it a secret.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, is
yeah,
that
but that's true now, man.
Your,
the price of wood.
Say what, Phil?
That truck's still over there in Arkansas? Your truck?
Yep.
I'm talking about the truck on your on your property. I ain't saying that
now. Call me on the bad
line. Oh, okay.
You know, Shay got so many secrets, man. You know, you can't let all the secrets out on the show. You know.
Yo, can I hear this record by Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock?
Hey, man, you sure you want to hear this, man? You sure about that, man? All right.
Right about now, you're about to be possessed by the sounds of MC Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock.
All right. We want to thank everybody for calling in on the Shake and Bake Brothers Talk Show here another Sunday. We're going about to get up out of here, people, because I know y'all got to go to work and I've got things to do tomorrow, too. So with that being said, we want to thank Big Ernie for coming on. We want to thank Brother Christian for coming on, our special guest. And, man, I hope y'all really enjoyed it because I did. Got a lot of learning out of it with Big Ernie. Come to your car nitrous system, people. And Big Ernie show tomorrow, 6 o'clock on Willie Dog Show. I'm calling tomorrow at 6. I'll get y'all the numbers if you want it. Give me a holler. And always, like I say, put God first in everything you do. And we out of here, people.
My name is Rob, I got a real funky concept. Listen up, cause I'm gonna keep you in step. I got an idea that I wanna share. You don't like it, so what? I don't care. I'm number one, so uno, I like punk. Bring all the suckers, cause all the